Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
It is Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's the Mark Order Podcast, episode 56. I think it's really 57, and I figured that out, by the way. I know why we're off numbers, but I'll tell you that another time, because nobody else gives a shit. It's the Mark Order Podcast. We have the four horsemen of the Mark Order Apocalypse tonight. Millionaire Matt's making an appearance. Millionaire Matt.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Kate the Great's here. Her voice is back.
It is.
That's maybe not a great thing. And then Ryan Schlong is very preoccupied at the moment watching the Sixers off screen.
It's a commercial, so I'm here for this second. But guys, if anyone's watching on YouTube until the Sixers game is over, my head's just facing this way.
trying to figure out what shitty tag team is behind you.
Oh, hold on.
He's going to bring it down.
Is that the Highlanders?
It sure is, Matthew. It sure is.
Yo, that's so creepy when you're not on screen but talking.
Ryan, just keep it like that until the Sixers game is over.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I'm leaning into this gimmick. Sure.
Why not?
I thought the Highlanders painted part of their face blue.
No, that's the Viking Raiders.
No, that's Braveheart.
Oh, I'm just mixing up all the guys in kilts.
There it is.
Oh, man. Guys, happy high holiday. If you're imbibing.
I don't observe, but I support it entirely.
Smoke them if you got them. Yeah, hey.
I do you're... neither. You're all going to hell.
Oh, come on. Come on, bro. Don't stop, you know, harshing my mellow. Yeah, tomorrow...
Boo.
Tomorrow it goes legal in New Jersey, so you can actually buy it tomorrow legally. That's nice. They missed it. All they had to do was move it up one fucking day. They didn't
That's
do it. That's all they had to do.
Can you imagine trying to buy it tomorrow legally?
Who's
the
talking?
Lines you're gonna be facing?
Wait, ignore who the fuck is talking?
Which one of the Highlanders is talking to us right now?
I can't do a Scottish accent. If I could, I would absolutely start it.
Spanish? I thought they were Scottish.
I said Scottish accent.
Oh, I thought he said Spanish. I can't hear either.
That would be so much better if you just started talking with a Spanish accent and there
can't
were two guys in kilts on your screen.
Schlong is just going to come back in a kilt.
I know, though, for a fact that there's a place that's going to be opening up by me, and they've told the township that for the first however many weeks, expect car lines of, you know, a mile to 2 miles long.
I believe it. A lot of them are down in your area, I believe, in South Jersey. And then there's a couple up here, but like none anywhere even close to me.
I just shook my head in agreement, forgetting that the Highlanders are what you're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They nodded too.
Anyway, if you're having a good night, keep having a good night. We're here to talk about AEW wrestling, some other stuff. I haven't gotten any toys or anything lately, Matt. I did get the box, the All Elite crate.
Ah, yes.
As did I.
I got mine last week too. Very. If I never see Wayfair again, I'll be perfectly okay. It was a very, very, very long week. The Turnpike is the grossest drive ever.
Oh, man.
Especially when you're in a fucking pizza truck.
How's the pizza truck been? Things are starting to pick up, huh?
Things are coming. It's coming. The first week of May is looking mighty awful.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. A lot of hospital gigs, late nights, 3 in the morning things, you know.
Oh, fun. All the things you love. Oh, staying up late, Farmers getting up early.
Starts this weekend.
What starts this weekend?
Farmers Market.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, so we're dumping right in. Late night wedding Saturday, early morning Sunday.
All right. That's how Matt loves his life. Up late.
Power to the people.
Up late and up early.
That's right.
Now it goes.
No sleep. No rest for the wicked.
No. No, not at all. Oh, look at Matt, Marky Mark kayfabe, rubbing it in our faces. Finally got my Walmart variant sting.
Oh, good for you.
Eat shit, Marky Mark kayfabe.
You know what? I'm with Ann on this one.
But also, thank you so much for supporting the Mark Order podcast. Buy a t-shirt when they're uploaded.
It's coming. I promise it's coming.
No. There's like so beer. Much exciting stuff. You guys don't even know how many exciting things are on the way.
Right,
the t-shirts are like Veer. They're just going to always be coming.
Has Veer still not shown up? Did he get held at the border?
He came all over. He came everywhere.
He did. It's just it was very disappointing.
Well, glad to hear Veer came everywhere.
Didn't last long.
Oh, well, it's usually the problem, right? All talk.
He came. It was everywhere. It was disappointing.
Oh.
What a Schlong. Weird thing to hear with nobody on Skype.
I know. I was going to say, Schlong, I really wish I could see your face as you're saying that, because I can't tell if you're being serious or joking. Matt, I got the crate, so you can see I got the shirt hanging up here just to change things up.
I like it.
So I was wearing this around the house the other day, and Mini Money came over and was like, who's that guy on your shirt? And I was like, you know who this is. He goes, well, what does it say? I said, it says Bay Bay. And he looks. I swear to God, this is a visual. So if you're listening, you're going to have to look. He goes, Adam Cole Bay Bay. I was like, yeah, you got it.
Are you sure that wasn't Ryan?
I'm sure it wasn't Ryan.
Okay. Just making sure.
So he's all about Adam Cole. He really loves Evil Uno. He all loves Penta now. He saw Penta come out with a hammer last week, or the shovel, sorry. 2 weeks ago.
He likes the masked guys because he likes Luchasaurus too. And Thunder Rosa with the face paint. He's like, I don't want to see your straight up face. That's boring to me. Do something cool to your face and I'm in. I respect that.
Kate, he did say I really like that guy with all the tattoos. And I said, which one? I said, he goes, Punk? I said, yeah, CM Punk. He knows. He doesn't know he's mid yet, but he knows.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Playing the heel, you know? guys, I have something else I have to share tonight.
Oh, do so.
So Matt doesn't remember this. We were talking before we got on there. Matt doesn't remember. A few weeks ago, I think it was the last time you were here, Matt, somehow we started talking about, I don't know, extracurricular activities, softball, bowling, anything like that. I don't know. But we started talking about bowling.
All right. Oh, your bowling ball.
It's Sergio, baby.
Oh.
Are we getting a Sergio unboxing right now?
I happen to find Sergio's bag. The old JanSport.
Nice. Oh, yeah, bag.
That's right.
Ball bag, guys.
It's my ball bag, and I've only got one in the bag, so.
Sergio. You and me both, brother. Oh, wait, what?
Sergio over huge in the chat, by the way, as soon as you said that. The lovely Mrs. Money and Asian Joe, who is just the best.
Now, I can say this. I will say, when we the night we were talking about Sergio, Mrs. Money did go trying to find Sergio. I texted her where I thought he was, and she looked, and he wasn't
looking there
where she was looking. What the hell was that?
Sorry, I got very excited because they were shooting a three, and I needed them to miss, and they did.
He can't see him, so I have no idea what he's doing.
Nope, Ryan's never coming back on camera. This is so great.
So, I told her where Sergio was. She went looking, couldn't find him. And the next day, I went to the same spot looking for something, and he was buried way further than she was looking. So,
wait, are you saying your ball was buried deep?
Deep.
Deep.
So deep.
I was balls deep.
You just said you only had one.
Ball deep. If we're going to keep it grammatical. But yes. Fucker.
If there's anything, Matt is, it's grammatically sound.
Yes. I also enjoy how now I'm just seeing the sixer or the on Ryan's just shirt.
The R.
Bleed through.
I'm leaning a certain way because Harden just missed a free throw.
Oh, shocker.
He tied it. He tied it.
All right. Nobody cares about Sixers play by play. I happen to find Sergio. And if for those who don't remember, just a little Mark Order podcast
lore
retrospective. Yeah, I happened to be walking out of a Goodwill and saw this bowling ball in the window, and I saw them remove it thinking somebody took it. I was dejected, but I did go in and they told me it was still available. They were just taking it out of the window. I became the proud owner of Sergio, which is a bowling ball. I'm going to say...
Come on, Tony Khan, show us the fucking ball.
Jesus, I'm going to say Christ. 12. I'm going to say anywhere between 12 and 16 pounds. I don't know. But it is The Rock.
We got a huge announcement coming up on Mark Order Podcast. He's
this all fucking week.
I forgot about it. Here you go.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
So it's The Rock with the Brahma Bull. With the nice. The F. The F did not get the F out yet. And the Brahma Bull... Danny. Has the sunglasses and the people's eyebrow.
He's got the Danny then, piercing.
Yeah. And here's the other side.
Oh, hell yeah. You stick
they couldn't line the ball the holes up with his nipples? I mean, come on.
I know. And they had to drill right over his name.
Everything is so aggressive with Ryan off screen and him chiming in.
There it is, Sergio.
Sergio, baby!
His name.
God, so I've purchased like a brand new bowling ball and you have to decide where to put your name and the holes. Like that guy was like, this is a perfect place for my name and the holes.
My only guess is he thought that it will look best maybe rolling down the lane this way. I don't know.
Rolling down the lane for who to see? You ever throw a fucking bowling ball down the lane? No one can see shit.
My guess is a guy buying a wrestling bowling ball doesn't know anything about holes.
Well... He might, because this is how you hold it, and you're always looking at the Rock. People are always looking at the Rock.
No,
and then you're staring at him. Rock?
You're not throwing the ball at people.
Well, if I'm on ESPN in the PBL, and they're filming me from down the lane. This is what you're seeing, but then I'm staring into the Rock shirtless, talking into the Raw is War microphone. So I don't know. I probably would have put it somewhere off to the side where there's all this blue space so you don't drill through the Rock.
Yeah.
But what do I know? I'm no professional.
No. I agree though.
There's Sergio.
Nice.
I'm so glad Sergio could join us.
Yeah, I'm glad I found him. I did not find what I was looking for, but I did find Sergio. So that was an eventful trip.
Keep Sergio around and then we can do a running tab of who's on the show more, Sergio or me.
I wish I had something to like a pedestal to put it on, and I put it right behind me.
Yeah, well, I'll go to the Goodwill store. I'll see what I can find. I'll see if I can hit up some garage sales.
Oh, maybe Matt can make one out of all of his lumber that he has.
Okay. I'm not a very good builder. Not a very good builder.
Maybe Rhiannon.
I'll ask Reed to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we should just mute him at this point. He's just giving reactions. This is
actually very entertaining.
I'm entertained by it.
That's amazing.
So how was everybody's Easter?
It was fine. I'm dealing with my stupid office has a leak in it again. And also today somebody told me I look like a pineapple with my hair like this. So it was a rough day. But... I didn't do anything for Easter. My family didn't get together. I just like hung out and cleaned.
Oh, I wish you would have said something, Kate. We had open door policy always here.
I would like to go see, but I was kind of over interacting with humans most of the weekend.
Fair enough.
Celebrate your Lord and Savior, Kate. Way to celebrate him.
I mean,
is that God?
It's like celebrating that he died and stuff and that he rose.
No. Yeah, you're celebrating that he came back and forgave your sins and is allowing you to go to heaven.
Who? Yeah, Jesus came, Kate.
But that's the lore, is that when he died, he went down to hell, got the souls in purgatory, and burst it open.
9 million years. I know. Thank you for muting, Ryan. I'm just saying, if you're celebrating Jesus, that's what Christmas is all about.
Yeah, I don't need, it's not the fucking religious channel here. I don't give a shit. I just asked how your Easter was.
Yeah, I ate some candy, which is the real thing to do. And I ignored people, and I watched Samoa Joe matches. Happy Easter to me.
And I don't know how you do it.
What's that accent? Happy Easter. What do you mean?
How I do what?
You have a child. He probably started eating candy early in the morning.
Yes.
And then he was probably around other children who also ate candy early in the morning.
No.
My niece and nephew were fucking maniacs, dude. I was like, I'm going to stick one of these kids' heads in the frog pond before this day is over. Fucking out of control, bro.
I could tell you this. Anthony was up. Anthony was up at like 6:30 or 6 o'clock, ready to go. And we were like, go back to bed. And so we got up at 6:30 because he wouldn't stop. But we did find out the night before, we were supposed to go to my parents and see my sister and my niece and nephew and my brother. And my mom let me know the day before that my sister's kids both came down with the flu. Ugh. So we said, we will not see you on Easter. Why? I don't know, Ryan.
It's contagious. People's immune systems are down.
They're going to overtime, people. They're going to overtime.
Overtime.
And Harden is fouled out.
Well, Ryan, nobody cares. Seriously. Don't even, like, you're not even on screen right now. Nobody gives a shit about Philadelphia, except for the show. It's Always Sunny, and that's about it.
That's true. Even they don't
really watch Dynamite next week.
I'm not watching Dynamite for the city it's in.
There's a Philly street fight.
All right, we'll talk about it. We'll get there. Anyway, kids had the flu, so we didn't go to my parents. So Saturday, we were like running around trying to figure out what are we going to do because we were going to go for dinner and all that stuff. So we kind of come up with a plan, but obviously the boy was disappointed until 6:30 when he got up and found eggs and got a couple small toys, and then, yes, he began eating candy pretty much right away. And, the rest of the day was just, I feel like, us just being like, calm down.
Yeah,
just constantly calm down.
And Uncle Matt is not, I'm like, what are you whining about? Stop. I'm like, you kicked the gate again? I'm sticking your head in the frog pond. Rihanna's like, Matthew. I'm like, these kids are maniacs right now.
I'm so glad, but also sad that you don't have kids. You would be the funniest dad in the world.
I looked right at my sister-in-law's, and I was like, I'm glad I have cats.
Yeah.
And I instituted a new rule. You fucking put it together. Right? These kids opened all these fucking toys, and I was trying to put them together. They're impossible to put together. There's no fucking instructions. There's a card this big with tiny little a diagram on it. I can't see. I'm fucking old.
Yeah, you are old. You're not as old as Tony, but you're old.
No, you fucking.
Well, nobody.
You put it together. 400 years old. I ain't putting shit together because I'm just
also.
In their defense, the kids also didn't buy it, so it's not their
responsibility.
Right, but my other sister-in-law bought it. And she was like, here, Uncle Matt, put this together. And after like 20, and then of course they're kids.
No
so
way.
They're kids. So you start doing it. And I'm like, you guys got to leave me the fuck alone. I need a screwdriver. Stop moving shit. Where'd this thing go? After 20 minutes, they're on to the next thing. Like, fuck it. I'm just putting it
they don't care.
In the box. Someone else can deal with this shit.
Do you guys remember the game Mousetrap?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like our generation. I remember my dad trying to put that together one Christmas, and by the time he had finally put it together, I had completely lost interest.
Yeah,
like, just moved on. It's brutal. It's brutal.
I don't think I ever played the actual game. Sorry, Matt. I don't think I actually played the game. I think I always just built the machine and then would just run the machine.
Yeah. I mean, I have severe ADHD, so I'm sure I didn't play the game either. I was just like, this is neat.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Also, I have to say, Matt, before I let you go, Mrs. Money put me on blast in the chat. She said, I'm putting you on blast because you took a 3-hour nap. Yeah, I went into our room for something, and then
hell of a start, boys.
I sat down on the bed, and I was out for like 3 or 4 hours. I don't know what happened, but yeah, I was passed the fuck out. So anyway, sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
I got yelled at for offering them shots because I just wanted them to calm the fuck down.
Did they take any?
No, because my sister-in-law was like, you can't offer a 5- and a 3-year-old shots. I'm like, I don't know. You're not doing anything about it. And then my 3-year-old nephew, I in the morning, we woke up, whatever. I was like, I'm just going to put on fucking Tom and Jerry on HBO Max. Bro, this 3-year-old kid, he was like, I guess he was like, he was so into it. I'm like, Rex, just everyone, Rex, he's just. I'm like, you guys watch Tom and Jerry at home? They're like, no. I'm like, you should probably let him watch Tom and Jerry because he was just standing in the middle of the living room like a zombie. It was fascinating.
I used to be that way when like my aunt would take me and my sister to Ice Capades. That was like our big like girls' day outing. And I don't remember this because I was super young, but apparently I would just be like so mesmerized to the point where my aunt was like, is she even enjoying this? Like, is she catatonic? What happened? But yeah, like once I was in. Tom and Jerry rules though. I'd probably get into that now.
Yeah, it does.
Ryan, you have a good Easter?
I did.
Who cares?
Yeah, family got together. It was nice. I could tell you what I was doing today. Kate seemed to appreciate it when I told her. Do you guys remember the song Devour?
No.
By Devour, Devour. Well, for some reason in my head all day, it's been Tozawa, Tozawa, Tozawa. It's been 24 straight hours of me singing Tozawa. Wow. So that's what's been going on in Ryan. I'm ready to shoot myself for it.
Well, I got to be honest.
Hope the Sixers lose.
There's still time.
Sixers Ryan is way edgier than regular Ryan. This is very funny. I also, and I don't mean this in an insulting way, I vote that we don't have Ryan's cam ever come back on. This is so funny.
Well, that hurts.
Could only help the views. In a bad way.
Yes, Gordon, that was Shine Down.
It's just amazing not knowing when Ryan is going to talk.
Oh, I don't know.
You know what? We do a better job of not talking over each other. When we don't see Ryan.
It's very true.
It's weird how that works.
Man. Matt, also, I have no problem with you offering kids shots. Do you hear about the kindergartner who brought in Jose Cuervo margarita mix to his class and shared it?
Spicy margarita? I did hear that.
I'm up on all the happenings.
You are
literally never up on anything to do.
I'm up on the things, man. Look. I don't
What's
know.
The What's the things? With Matt?
I know about the dude that sold his house to the fake Liv Morgan, which is hysterical. You know, I just got my finger on the pulse.
If you're not watching this podcast, you have no idea what's going on and what makes this so funny.
And then I finally, I had like a really big gap Saturday. Between my first truck gig and my second truck gig. So I finally got to watch the last 2 weeks worth of Dynamite and Rampage and Battle of the Belts. So I am like all caught up because the last, you know, I didn't listen to the Mark Order
The
last 2 weeks because I hadn't seen the Dynamites or the Rampages. So I wanted to watch them first.
Got it. And then, Mrs. Money and I watched Battle of the Belts and we did the bonus post show.
Yes.
So we talked about Rampage and Battle of the Belts because it was the end of championship week. What did you guys think of Rampage? I mean, we don't have to go through the whole card, but I mean, what did you guys think of the show? I thought it was actually pretty good for an early night on Friday. I was at Fozzie, so I watched it Sunday morning or Saturday morning.
This fucking guy living what a life, bro. How was Fozzie?
Oh, it was fantastic.
I bet. And, bro, they rock. I know people fucking hate on Fozzie. They rock, dude.
They played Enemy, and I was like, this solo in the middle is crazy long.
Were his jokes funny?
He didn't tell many jokes. It was all business, man. It was all business.
Fucking boo.
Matt got it.
Oh, see, I can't fucking see. I get it. I can't Steve Ryan. I don't connect with him.
Matt goes, fucking boo.
And the funny thing is,
Director Mike.
The funny thing is, I made jokes like that leading into the night. Like, I was driving up to PA with Mrs. Money, and I was making jokes about Fozzie Bear, and I was joking, you know, just like that. Yeah. Anyway, Matt, Fozzie was awesome. The band sounded great. I will say the night started off, their set started off with a lot of heavy lifting from the backup track, but things smoothed out rather quickly. And it's all business, you know, like when he's there with Fozzie, it's all Fozzie, man. It's no wrestling, none of that bullshit. Of course, there's a lot of wrestling fans there.
Right.
You know, but it's definitely separation between the two for him. So, yes, Matt?
Did he play any covers?
Yes. They did Relax. You know, Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah. Fozzie says Relax.
I like that.
I'm sorry, Fozzie, say Relax. That's what they have shirts. Fozzie, say Relax.
All right.
And they also played Dirty Deeds by AC/DC.
Nice.
Yeah. They Wait, know I have where a to question. Do Judas too in the set. It's the first encore.
Well, I have a question about Judas.
Yes, sir.
Did it take on special meaning being Easter weekend?
No, Easter did not come up. However, it was Fozzie Friday. So they said, welcome to Fozzie Friday in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
And it was Fozzie Friday.
So it was a lot of fun. Mrs. Money and I did say one thing. It would be so much more fun if we were there with this group next time they came around. So let's keep our eyes on the calendar. I know Kate's vowed never to see Folly again. Or Folly. I want to see Folly every day. Kate said she'll never see Fozzie again because she saw them for a week straight on the boat.
If I can make WSOU give me a ticket for free, I will not pay to see them again.
I mean, the ticket wasn't that wasn't really expensive. It was like 30 bucks.
It's Fozzie. Why would it be expensive?
Because tickets these days are fucking expensive. I mean,
yeah, Ryan.
Geez, sorry, Ryan.
That was not a fucking foul.
Oh my God. I don't know, Ryan. I'm not watching.
Anthony.
Yes.
Kyle K. Sparks in the chat. He says if you're going to do that over Easter weekend, at least cover heaven on their minds like Queensryche did.
Fuck Queensryche.
What about Queensryche, Aunt Money?
Fuck Queensryche. That's what
How rude.
Fuck them.
God damn. You know who I say fuck them to?
Hold on. You know, Matt? You know, I did say to Mrs. Money, they should cover Balls to the Wall. That would be a good one for Fozzie.
They did it on they do a great ABBA cover of SOS.
Never heard it. I will say this, Brundon Heaney, Limp Bizkit tickets are $80, he says. I can tell you this much, floor seats at the Garden are a little more expensive, and that's where I'll be when they come around this town.
You're going to go see Limp Bizkit at the Garden?
I'm seeing Limp Bizkit at the Garden. No doubt will be a quarter full, and I'll be on the floor. And
he's just going to be rolling in, and he's doing it all for the nookie. So we all just need to have faith.
I cannot believe someone would pay upwards of $3 to see Limp Bizkit.
But I was supposed to go over the summer. I was supposed to go over the summer, and it canceled like an hour before doors because of COVID.
Do remember that bullshit. They should have let you go for free.
Well, I mean, how do they know? I got my money back.
They didn't cancel it because fucking Fred Durst is dressing like a kid toucher?
Nope. Somebody got COVID. Somebody got the vid.
Yeah. There's a list of people. And a list of people that I hope they did not cover Balls to the Wall on their first album, Kyle.
Well, maybe they did. Maybe it wasn't. Go ahead.
They didn't. It's not on their first album.
Are you talking about their first album on Century Media, like their first major album?
Their first album where they do all covers.
Okay.
Yeah. Stand Up and Shout, Eat the Rich, Stay Hungry, The Prisoner, Livewire, End of Days, Over the Mountain, blackout, feel the burn, riding on the wind.
Was that the Moon Goose McQueen era?
That was the Moon Goose McQueen era. I saw them at the WWF New York.
The world, right?
Wow.
Yeah, I think I still have my t-shirt.
Yeah, you know who's a big Fozzie fan?
Who?
Kermit?
Beat ya.
You are correct, Kyle K. Sparks. Happenstance has Balls to the Wall on it.
Cruise Director Mike, big fan.
I moved Cruise Director Mike. So in between that long gap where I was watching all of wrestling on Saturday, I also organized my figures.
Oh, yeah. Sit over here now.
Yeah, I opened a bunch of shit that had been piling up. So, and I got
so many boxes.
Yeah. Threw them all out.
God, oh my God!
Stands for the figures.
I don't think Ryan's watching basketball anymore. I think he's sitting on something.
Embiid just hit a three with 0.7 seconds left to give them the lead.
Woohoo!
Good for Joel.
My way or the highway.
I hope the next 0.7 seconds take 3 minutes.
Kevin, what the fuck is wrong with Ryan? He's watching the 76ers basketball game because he is from a big fan of dirty shit.
That's right.
The Philadelphia teams.
Go fuck yourself, Matthew.
I don't know so which anyway, Ryan said that.
We're pretty sure you're the one who's fucking themselves.
You know who can go fuck themselves?
It'd be over by now, Kate.
Sammy Guevara can go fuck himself.
He's fucking Tay Conti. Good for him.
Wait a minute, we're not even at Battle of the Belts. How was Rampage? Rampage was the Gun Club and the Blackpool Combat Club and Robin Renegade trying to pull the twin magic off with Ruby Soho and then the Butcher and some jobber, and then the main event, which was the Texas Death Match for the title.
It was not referred to as twin magic. It was Killer Bee's magic, I believe, is what Excalibur said.
Oh, well, excuse me. Mrs. Money and I spoke at length about this on Saturday night.
The Killer Bees?
About the twin.
Gina, huge Killer Bees fan.
Huge.
Really? She looks like somebody who would be into Jumping Jim Brunzel. She does. Not so much Bee Brian Blair, but Jumping Jim Brunzel, definitely. He's jumpy.
Who isn't?
I don't know if Mrs. Money's still listening or not, but she was very excited about Mr. Tony Nese and Mark Sterling. And when we get to tonight, I will tell you what she said tonight. But the twin magic, we talked about that at length on Saturday night. They are not identical twins. You can easily see that they're not the same person. Why do they keep trying this shit?
I don't know. You could tell Nikki and Brie weren't the same once Nikki got the knockers.
There you go. Nikki knockers after the fact doesn't work.
Right. But the Killer Bees, when they wore masks, no clue, buddy. No clue.
Well, then put masks on these girls because they need help.
No, it was fine.
They're close enough and it's the heat of the moment. It was the heat of the moment.
This is the best episode.
Ryan, you must watch and be heavily invested in every type of sport every Wednesday night.
I don't want the game to end.
I don't know.
I don't want to talk about Dynamite. I just want
to. Oh, I didn't know if that was you or Marv Albert.
Yes.
My goodness.
All right.
Well, I thought Rampage was great to answer a question from 40 minutes ago. And
I also thoroughly enjoyed Rampage. I thought it was a nice, easy. I mean, I said it on the Monday night show when I talked to Kevin. Like, AEW, just like we got 2 weeks ago, we got the Bucks and FTR. Then they give you Moxley and Wheeler Yuta, and then a solid show Wednesday night, and then Paige and Cole in the Texas Tech. Like, just home runs all around, man. Real good shit. And an easy watch. It doesn't feel like you're, stuck in a vortex where time doesn't move.
That's called Monday Night Raw. But I think that Danielson-Trent match also flew under the radar a little bit. That was phenomenal. Like, that was such a good opener. I was like, how the hell is the main event going to top it? And it still managed to. Like, the past few weeks of Rampage have just been absolute home runs. I thought this was great. I thought the championship match could have been on Battle of the Belts, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I think that would have made sense, but no complaints about it. I even said when they set this match up that I thought, like, I was like, I don't need another Texas death match. But as I was saying that, I was like, but it's going to be great. Like, watch me be wrong. And this felt very, very different from what they did with Lance Archer. So I thought it was fantastic. They have great chemistry in the ring. And man, watching this match, I was like, who's got a better super kick than Adam Cole right now? My God.
Yeah.
Like, his super kick rules. But yeah.
I am just a little confused by what Kevin Garifo's saying here. He said, I actually said it on the A show too. That's the part I'm confused about. I do agree with what, that's what I wasn't sure about. So that's what I was confused about. But Rampage has seemed to be stepping it up a lot. Even the ones that the 2 weeks ago wasn't live, and it was a good show. This past week was live earlier because of basketball. What?
I was so excited it was on at 7 and not 10.
Yeah. And then what'd you guys think of Battle of the Belts? I actually thought Battle of the Belts was a pretty decent show, but I think since it was taped, it hurt, you know, it might've hurt them in the ratings. Cause last time I think it was live.
Go ahead, Matt.
I enjoyed it. Well, I enjoyed it up until the Sammy Guevara match.
Well, that was the first match.
You know, the opening was fun. Then that happened match. That match happened. And then I was like, super fucking annoyed.
Well, can we expand on this a little bit? Because again, you can go to the archive, you can see the bonus show we did for Battle of the Belts. What is the point of this? I don't understand why you make it a big deal that Scorpio Sky gets this belt, has this streak, and then the next week he loses it. Like, or maybe the next 2 weeks he had it for what? 2 weeks? This was his first defense.
40 days. But
40 days. What?
Yeah, AEW time just flies back. I think I do know the point of this. I think this is setting up a double turn. Or there's a double turn already underway, and I think Sammy is going to win it back in his hometown.
Scorpio, not Sammy.
Scorpio.
That is what I meant. But they're going to the West Coast real soon.
You can't do fucking hot potato with the belt.
They've never done it, though. And if
they don't need to, why does Sammy have to be a fucking 3-time TNT champion? I fucking hate him. I hope his fucking neck falls off.
Oh,
that is aggressive.
He fucking sucks. And he says shit all the time on the microphone. Like he's cool. You're not cool. Don't tell this fucking girl she's the love of your life when you fucking proposed 6 months ago in the ring to the love of your life. You fucking jerk off.
I think it's working. And
I'll say this. I mean, Pammy was okay. This is an upgrade from Pammy, folks.
Oh, 100. Look, that's. I mean, my God. There's no doubt.
I would do her. I mean, my God. Whoa. Look at her.
Wow. My goodness.
Add to the list with Pretty Peter Avalon.
The number of people that Kate would do in AEW. Pretty Peter Avalon.
Well, I mean, honestly, this is the first one that wasn't put under the guise of FMK. But I will say, if we get the belt back on Scorpio and the dissension of American Top Team, whatever the fuck, and Sammy, like, it makes sense. You want to cheer for Scorpio, right? And you want to boo Sammy. So why not double turn them with this angle and then put the belt back on Scorpio in his hometown? What bigger babyface pop is there going to be than that?
I agree, but there's one problem with that. It's what we found out tonight, which is his next match is next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, but it's next tag, right?
No, next week's the ladder match.
Oh, that's weird.
It's just, all of this is sort of weird. And I don't disagree with you, Kate, like on the double turn, but then you'd better get fucking Scorpio Sky out of American Top Team ASAP. Like, you know, that's a heel faction. So,
well what about this? What if Scorpio wins it back? This angle was stupid, but got the double turn done. And he faces Ethan Page for the title in his hometown. That could be interesting.
I mean, I guess, yeah. Like, I don't hate the match. It's just...
Well, and on Battle of the Belts, in the moment, I hated it. I just had some time to think through it. And what we saw tonight made me think, like, Sammy needs to be a heel. Scorpio, I want to root for it, and I want him to have the title, right? So, like, a run with him having it where we get to cheer for him would be really nice. But in the moment of watching the booking of that match, I absolutely am with you guys. Like, I hated that. I hated every minute of it. but I thought Dalton and Gresham was so much fun. I loved the beginning of the night, or the beginning of the match, that some people were like, who the hell is this Dalton Castle dude? And by the end of it, he really won him over with the boys. I wish they had built up to that match more, like had some vignettes towards it, but I think it was good exposure. The post-match, I'm not in on the Satnam Singh situation. And then Rosa and Nyla, I thought was pretty good, and I was pessimistic for it. So I'm just glad more that that's done. And it was a decent enough match. It wasn't offensive. It was booked fine. Rosa was great at using Nyla's own weight against her, which I thought was good.
Easy to do.
All right, relax. But I thought it was a very medium special. Like, if it didn't happen, other than the belt switching hands, like, I don't think a lot changes for me, but it was a good enough hour of time, you know?
Well, I'll say this. Thoughts on, Matt, thoughts on the Ring of Honor title match, and did you have any problem with Satnam Singh? Because I actually thought this was much better than the surprise, you know, show up.
To Tony Khan's credit, he was quick to admit the error in his ways with turning off the lights. I don't really have a problem with the big dude. Again, turning off the lights was silly. I knew about it before I watched the show. It's impossible for me to avoid all spoilers. It looked great. Him in the ring with Jonathan Gresham looked visually, it was like, holy fuck, this dude is massive.
I said it Saturday night. What impressed me the most was Satnam Singh on one knee, and he had Gresham by the neck, and when he stood him up to slam him down again, they were the same fucking height. I swear to Christ. That was impressive.
It'll be interesting to see, you know. I'll let it play out. If Joe's got to slay a giant, you know, I mean, who's better to work with than fucking Joe? Like, Joe's worked everywhere with everyone, and they're not going to have a fucking, you know, Joe Danielson or Joe Punk match. It's going to be Joe versus this giant. So I'll let it play out and see what happens. He's huge. That's cool. But is he the next, Giant Gonzalez, or is he the next, Kevin Nash? I can't think of a really good.
See, that's the problem. You can't think of a really good big dude, because I feel like we don't get a lot of them. That was much, 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 much better than Dynamite, I will say. Like, a way better in-ring debut for him.
I will say this. Ryan is crying. He's now spent.
It's coming down. It's coming down from the high.
That's it. The dopamine actually is might be. Off.
Jesus Christ.
I will say this. Satnam Singh did an interview, and he kind of talked about why he went AEW over WWE. So I guess he had his choice of suitor. And he said he was given trials for the WWE, and he liked it. He liked AEW, he thought that if he went to AEW, he would be kind of the first, right? First wrestler from India as part of AEW to make history for India and AEW. With WWE, he'd just be another guy sort of like from India as part of the company. He said it wasn't really for him. So, you know, he just kind of made his choice based on that. But I think if they can cultivate him, and if he can move, yes, that's the question we all have, is can this guy actually do anything?
How funny would it be if he was like, I signed with AEW because the only person I would ever want to work with was Cody Rhodes.
Cody Codes.
I only want to work with him. The whole reason I signed at this place was to work with that guy.
Well,
I mean, he did train under him.
He did. He did. And I agree with the fact that, you know, you work with, you know, if you're going to work with somebody, the right guy is, you know, Joe. And I did love the fact that Dalton Castle got this time on television. Dude deserved it. You know, he's put his time in with the Ring of Honor, is a flag in the sand with them. So good for Dalton Castle. And I'll say this about the championship, the women's championship match. I didn't mind the match, but the ending felt a little rushed to me. Like, I get what they did, but it got so close to the end, and I was just like, Jesus, how are they going to wrap this up? And I was like, oh, that's, there you go. But again, it's Nyla Rose just looking like a dummy, you know, not able to win the big match again. So it's like, how many times are we going to do this? You know, I'm just glad it's over.
You're going to see her do it every time there's a new women's champion. She's going to be the roadblock. Yeah.
The first one, too, which is stupid. Like, just put her somewhere else. Make her like
I love Thunder Rosa, but I had zero interest in this match. It was on. I watched it, but it was like, I knew the outcome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just like Britt Colrain.
It's just, you know, they don't know how to book the champions sometimes. And, you know, we'll see what they're doing with Thunder Rosa next. You know, she gave a little promo tonight talking Double or Nothing. So I can't see what that says because of your white girl light.
Yellow.
No more baked goods. I'm sick of pies and I'm sick of cakes. Just have matches and hamburgers.
So much cake downstairs.
Yo, give me some.
I love cake, just not in a wrestling context.
Yeah, I love cake and I love violence too.
You got to come over like tomorrow though to get it because it's almost done, the cake. Like
you just said, I have so much cake, and then you're like,
it's almost Sunday gone. Though. It's not going to last forever.
It lasts forever. It's cake. Throw it in the freezer, bro.
No, it's not November rain.
No, well, nothing lasts forever. Not even cold November rain. Yeah. Cold November rain. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed Battle of the Belts. We did go in deep on the bonus show, which we put on the YouTube channel. And it's up on Spotify and all those places. By the way, guys, I finally figured out how to make playlists on goddamn YouTube. So now if you're looking for our bonus shows, you can just click the playlist for bonus shows and find everything. And that's where I found out that we fucked up the numbers. There was a bonus show somewhere. We said Saturday night bonus, and it was really just us doing a show on a Saturday for some reason. But it should have counted to our regular count. So that's why our count's off. So we fucked it up early on.
Probably Arthur Ashe or something.
I don't know. I have
no idea. I think that was BS before Schlong.
Maybe.
Tony, Ryan has the Highlanders behind him because that's his gimmick. I can't believe you're fucking awake right now.
That's what I say every time he chats.
He's ignored me all day in text messages, but now he's here fucking. It's good.
T-Donk, text me the format you send shirt designs over to. Pro Wrestling Tees, please.
Any other business that we just want to talk about on air?
No, that's it. I just need to know the format that we send artwork over.
Well, you know what I need to know, Ant?
What?
If there are any other great shows on the Shining Wizards Network?
I mean, I'm pretty sure there are, but I think Matt can tell us a little bit more.
Oh, well, all right. I'm game to hear that.
I think you guys throw the term great around a little like loosey-goosey.
Are there other shows that are on the same network that we're on? Matt's here to tell you.
Once you get past the A show, this one, right, and the B show, the Shining Wizards,
I thought
there's got to be C through Z.
Oh, here you go. Usually 4,000 by 4,000 IRRC. IIRC. You know what that means?
No idea. And I said, PNG. Please text it to me. PNG. All right. I thought it was Illustrator.
Is that his age? 4,000 by 4,000?
Probably.
That'd be like 16,000.
PNG, all right.
Yeah, you got that?
I got it. That's why I took it off the screen. I got it.
Go away.
So tell us, Matt, are there any other shows that are part of the network?
What happened tonight?
There are a couple other shows part of the Shining Wizards Network, and if you're enjoying the Mark Werder podcast, which I hope you are, head over to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Check out a variety of great podcasts. Of course, the Shining Wizards podcast, the A show that I am part of, which is what the network is named after, 10 years long, 10 years strong. We're doing it every Monday night with the greatest guests and subpar hosts. You should check it out. We have a lot of fun. We just talked to Big Vin, Big F and Vin, 911's kid, and Lash LaRue. And this week we have Billy Starks and a mystery guest who I'm waiting to confirm, but it is huge. Huge, I'm telling you. She is a game changer. She will be on the Shining Wizards podcast Monday night at 7 o'clock, I hope. What else is on the Shining Wizards Network? The Midnight Jury, home to 80s and 90s. The Inconclusive Breakdown podcast, the Anti-PC News and Entertainment Show. Turnbuckle Throwbacks with our boy Phil and his hot dog fingers, Choppy and his nasty talons, and Jay, the only one worth a fuck. Wrestling Night in Canada and Radioactive Metal from our brother Snowy up there in the north. He's talking wrestling on Wrestling Night in Canada. He's talking heavy metal on Radioactive Metal. And they are fast approaching 700 episodes on Radioactive Metal. So if you're a metal fan, check it out. Snowy and the crew really do an excellent job talking music. And then the Ringside Rant. I know they just did the WrestleMania 10 episode. So check those guys out over at theshiningwizardsnetwork.com. Let's see. Tony is making a bunch of comments. Unnecessary. You didn't even show up for the show last week because you were trying to jump off a cliff. It is not China because she's dead. Anthony. Did you know that she was dead? No? You didn't know China was dead?
Yes, I did. I'm not on camera, so I'm not talking.
Okay. Private chat. What else? Sunny. No, Sunny. Sunny Kiss?
No.
No, Sonny's probably... No, that's not... That's bad, too.
That's why I thought maybe you were waiting to confirm her.
No, no, that's... Yeah. No. It's... She's never been on the show before.
Okay. Well, you didn't say that.
Her husband.
Right, back to your read. Oh.
That's all the reads I got. There's nothing else on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, how did I know?
How did you know? You're on the network. You think you... It's not Miss Elizabeth either, Kate. You guys are really funny, naming all the dead ladies. No Sherry Martel either.
What about Luna Vachon?
No, it's not Luna Vachon. Tony, stop. Go to bed.
Well, here... People.
Jesus Christ.
What I can tell you, Matt, is here on the A show of the Shining Wizards Network, we give away free stickers if you want them.
Stickers!
Wait, who was that talking? Was that God? Is it Jesus?
God.
Oh, there he is. Oh, my gosh.
Keeping with HBK. Oh, damn it.
So we do give away stickers here on the Mark Order podcast. All you got to do is go to our social accounts, hit the link tree, and there's a button right at the top to request your free stickers. You just put your name and address, what country you live in, or where I'm mailing the stickers, and I will send a couple of these bad boys out to you right away. Kate likes to spread the fake news or, you know, whatever. I'm trying to control the narrative here. We pay for the shipping, so you don't worry about it. You just give us your address. I will send it out. I'll take care of everything else. So hit up our socials at Mark Order Pod, any one of them, hit the link tree and request your stickers.
Do it now, baby.
Guys, I do have some bad news.
Oh no,
there's no rankings this week.
Why, God, why?
I knew Kate would be broken.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Kate actually told us, too, pre-show, that she was going to do a 20-minute rock opera based on the rankings tonight. But not anymore.
I'm pissed now.
But yeah, I'd be pissed, too. Why am I hearing an echo? Is that on your side, Matt?
I don't know.
Yeah, just ended, though.
Okay.
Is that when I hit the buttons?
Yes.
Fuck this whole thing.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Tony, we can't wrap the rankings because there are simply no rankings to be wrapped.
No rankings.
Why, God? Why? Anthony, why don't we have this device that we only use when it's convenient? Why?
Aunt, what are otter stamps?
These,
they're the otter stamps that you use.
Little otters. It's
adorable. Look at them little guys.
Yeah. You can't really see because they're fuzzy, but...
Oh, I wish there were Nelly stamps. Just like Nelly's face.
The butthole?
Nelly's in the side.
You're talking about the cat. I thought you were talking about the rapper from the St. Lunatics.
If you want to go and take a ride with me... You want a man on
the... Ew, why do you want a man's butthole on a stamp?
Why don't you?
Ryan is in a mood tonight.
I assume men don't have clean buttholes.
I'm probably not. Speak
for yourself, sir.
I got a bidet. I'm good, bro. I know what's going on back there.
We need Manscaped back.
No, we don't. Those fucking were the worst reeds in the history of reeds.
I like the Sex Panther references like 20 years too late.
Yeah, I was hoping we would get one that had fucking Animal House jokes in it.
Idiots. They didn't do manscaping back then, though.
How do you know?
Have you seen the ladies of the 70s and 80s?
That's the ladies, but...
Yeah, so if the ladies are that way...
There were some progressives out there.
Not that progressive, bro.
Well...
Everyone looked like they had Don King in a leg lock.
King in a leg lock. Boy, oh boy. Our fucking references don't get current at all.
What's current? I don't know anyone that has a fro, and then someone be like, that's racist.
Matt made that joke, and then Manscaped stole it for their next ad read.
True.
They said Trevor Lawrence. Like, you don't want yourself looking like Trevor Lawrence down there like a month after Matt did that. I know, because they sponsored... like an NFL group that I was working with. And I was like, Matt's joke.
It also, by the way, sounds like, based on Matt's comment there, Kate, sounds like Matt is worried about the PC police.
I'm definitely not worried about it. This is the last thing I'm fucking worried about. Some fucking nerdy assholes on Twitter who have a problem with something.
He doesn't want Twitter Jack to... Deplatform him.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but I really don't give a shit.
You don't listen to your own ads. Jesus.
I stop playing the fucking commercials. We do live reads now.
I don't care enough to do a live read when you're not here. I just play the fucking block.
The fucking commercial's like fucking 6 minutes long, dude. I don't have time for that. That's a long break.
It's the best thing ever. 7 hour show. We don't have six minutes to play the commercial block.
No, who needs a 6 minute break? I'm a fucking professional. I'm like fucking Dave LaGreca. I gotta go to the bathroom every 10 minutes. Fucking bust it open. There's a commercial every fucking 5 minutes. What he said it before he comes to the studio is, you guys don't ever take a break, do you? I said, no, what, you just gotta pee, you get up and fucking go. There's three of us.
Yeah.
Somebody, no one's paying us to take ad breaks.
I mean, nobody's paying us, but yeah.
I mean, if somebody wants to buy ad time on this show, they certainly could.
It's true.
So,
yeah, anywho, go to our link tree and buy an ad.
I'll set it up. Don't worry.
I'll do ad reads.
Ryan wants to do live reads?
I know the ad reads. Like, if we get like ad reads, like, is your dick too soft? Well, let's make it harder.
Doing live reads with this group, maybe just Matt, but doing live reads is a fucking nightmare, because all you have to do is just get through the live read in a clean take, and then you can talk about whatever the fuck you want. But of course, right in the middle of the goddamn read, Matt's just got to be like, fuck Manscaped, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
nobody listens to this.
Yeah, no, nobody else is enough fucking things.
They certainly do.
Guy was an idiot.
That is dead on. What's not dumb, Ant?
What's not dumb?
AEW Dynamite.
Kate is just trying to get to the finish line tonight, and I don't mind it.
I just capitalized on the segue.
Perfect. So we let off the show tonight with CM Punk versus Dustin Rhodes. They've never met. Yes, Matt. See, stopping us already.
Your clock is very distracting, Kate.
Your clock? Okay.
What is that? Is that an Alexa?
TikTok. It is. The clock's painful.
I have no idea what's going on anymore. I have no fucking clue.
You were so excited to have me back. You know what happens when I come on the show.
Ryan's fucking mumbling songs.
I'm singing E6, all right?
Oh my God, Jesus Christ.
We liked it better when you weren't on screen.
Ryan's not on screen. Matt's not here.
I'm the most normal one. Do you know how bad that is?
It is bad. Now we're not gonna know when Ryan's talking.
No, I think it worked out better because we kind of paused.
Dustin and CM Punk, I really loved this match.
Oh, Ryan, I didn't know.
guys. CM Punk was here. He's got a great positive mental attitude. I love him. Listen, when I started watching in 09, he is who I loved.
Ooh. Yeah, it's true. And you know what? I loved this match. I loved that it ended on a counter to a counter to a counter. I love that the crossroads isn't protected. I loved a lot of things about this match.
Did you love that he was in shorts tonight and not pants?
Well, he was in trunks, and they were Bret Hart trunks, which is just fun because there was the pink and the black. I loved the use of the figure four. I thought that was really fun. It's better when Ryan's not on screen, and it's better when Matt's not here.
You know what, Kate? You know what, Kate? No, when CM Punk was in the WWF, he wore the same fucking shit all the time, and then he took his ball and he went home like a little bitch because he shit his pants or whatever his nonsense is. You man up if you shit your pants, CM Punk, and you tell everybody on the podcast.
He said, tune into SmackDown. I shit my pants, and they made him take it down, and he blocked them.
All right, he left. All right, we took the Shining Wizards took the pink and black. That's our shit. Don't be showing up all of a sudden just because FTR is doing their Hart Foundation shit.
It was actually Bret Hart's thing and not the Shining Wizards thing.
And then he gave it to us when he fucking crashed his bike and had a stroke. Okay.
Can I just pull...
I want to give you this stuff.
Can I?
Can I? Your biggest fan.
And what did you think of this match?
Can I just say, oh my God. Kyle K. Sparks letting us know it ended on the British Bulldog Bret Hart SummerSlam 92 counter.
Of course it did.
The Calgary Hitman, eh? Is that your mouse pad?
No, it's a... It's a...
It's a patch?
It's a patch.
That patch is very distracting, Matt. Please take it out of frame.
Oh my God. What is going on? I have no idea
what's going on with you.
I don't know. Matt made fun of my clock.
I didn't make fun of it. I was just... It was distracting me. I'm sorry.
I liked the match for all of the spots that I mentioned. I thought it was fun that... Like, this felt like a really great one-off, and so did the one with Penta for, like, things that are not going to be longer stories. It felt like they had a story right there of just, like, who's the better guy? I watched the roads to Pittsburgh. I don't normally watch those, but the road to Pittsburgh thing was really good. And it was really nice to hear Dustin talking about, like, this was a dream match for me. So I liked it for something that had essentially no build. It started off slow for me, but once it got going, I was like very, very into it. Very glued to my television.
Well, Matthew, what did you think of Chicago Mid?
He's mid.
Okay.
But the match was good. I like that Dustin Rhodes is back to calling himself the Natural, by the way.
Yeah, I do enjoy that.
Yeah, the match was good. I don't really trust Dustin Rhodes' dreams because for a while he was Gold Dust and he did want to get breast implants. So I don't know what kind of weird shit's going on in his head. But hell of a wrestler. Good match. Good way to kick off Dynamite.
Yeah, it was. And Gordon Post saying, I can't believe that was the first time they ever faced each other. Yeah, very true. They did build to this using that over the past week, and they did mention it several times tonight, that while they spent a lot of time in the same company together, they never crossed paths. So it was one of those matches when they announced it, it was like, I don't know if I'm really invested in this or like need it, but it was a good match. They worked well together. I don't know what the Highlanders
think of it. I was just curious.
Don't know if Ryan's there, but maybe one of the Highlanders has a take on this.
I want to give a Scottish accent. I really do. I can't. It's bad.
Try
it. Coward.
No. Like you've heard me try a Kate accent before, and how much I butchered that.
This Kate accent is not a language. Okay.
Come on, laddie. See, that's all I got.
That's good. That was good.
All right.
I want to listen. This match sucked. Nothing about it was good.
Okay.
No one wants to see CM Punk wrestle anymore.
Really going against his brand.
I mean, he came back and great. Now he's in the title picture. Way to bury the young talent. I mean, he's done nothing for anyone. Name one person he's got over. Okay. MJF's in a great feud with Wardlow. He would be there anyway.
Darby Allin's
in a casket match. Great. We're burying him literally in a casket. We're just... No, I mean, listen, it was good. But I wonder how long they're going to drag out the Punk wanting the belt thing. Like, are they going to be able to wait as long? When's the next pay-per-view?
Double or Nothing.
When is it, though? I actually don't know the date.
May.
Oh, so it's not as long as I thought. All right, never mind. I thought it was like a couple months away. I was like, that's going to be a really long time to have him just stare down Hangman.
Yeah, no. Double or Nothing is
May 29th.
May 29th. So it's a little over a month away. Yep.
All right, that's fine. So if he's going to keep beating up old men, then that we can do this. Because that's all he does is beat up young kids and old men. Doesn't want a real challenge.
Well, he is just mid, so it makes
sense. Did you guys notice on Friday that Hangman cracked a beer for the first time in a very long time?
Yes, he did crack Adam Cole over the head with it and then drink it.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a straight edge dickhead versus a drunk cowboy. Let's go!
Well, we didn't talk about it, but yes, that did happen.
It fucking changed my name.
Oh, you just saw it.
I didn't notice that either.
That's fantastic. It did happen post match where Punk and Rhodes embraced, and then as Punk is leaving, he's making the belt sign, that's when Adam Page comes out and they have a little stare down. So we assume we're building now to Double or Nothing, CM Punk, Adam Page.
Baby.
Let's see what happened next. Oh, we had Wardlow arriving at the arena. So Wardlow does show up, and he's met by security and Smart Mark Sterling, and all the rules are laid out for him for all of his participation moving forward. It's that he will be handcuffed at all times while he's in the arena and led around by security. He will have to go directly to his closet, dressing room, and then he will be escorted out of the building as soon as his match is over. So those are the rules, and they end that with a message from MJF that said, "Eat shit, pig," and Wardlow said, "Oink, oink, bitch." So
classless, fucking classless. This whole fucking company, eat shit, pig. Use better language, Tony. You know? People,
Tony,
deserve better. And okay, you have this great hot talent like Wardlow. So what do? You put him in handcuffs? Like, well, what is that? I mean, and you waste your time explaining stuff. Like, I don't need that. Just give me good acting out in front of the crowd. I want to see 50-50 matches. Like, this is what I look for, guys. So this is just pathetic.
Spoken like a true WWE fan.
One, two, three.
After this segment, if anybody wants to comment, feel free, but I was just going to keep this train moving. All right. Blackpool Combat Club versus Brock Anderson, Dante Martin, and Lee Moriarty. This was announced, I think, right before the show started. We get the Blackpool Combat Club winning by pinfall with the paradigm shift from Moxley on Dante Martin. So this is the second time we're seeing the full Combat Club in action. Got to see some good offense from Dante Martin. Saw a little bit out of Lee Moriarty too. Lee Moriarty looked pretty strong in this. A couple of times he was standing up to the Combat Club. I thought maybe they would play into that, because they did call out Lee Moriarty a couple times when they first kind of put this idea together. But nothing happened with that tonight. Matt, what did you think of the match?
I thought it was it's remarkable how over the Blackpool Club is. And I think it's AEW did such a great job with Wheeler Yuta. Like, he's in a fucking stable with Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson, and he gets cheered as loud as them, if not louder. Like, he's fucking over with the crowd. It's fantastic. And I thought it was a great showing by all these guys. You know, I'm not the biggest, I'm really not into Brock Anderson at all. There's just something,
he's human ambient. There's nothing exciting about him.
He's very, like, just vanilla. He's nothing like his father. Lee and Dante are fantastic. What happened? Where's the other fucking top flight kid?
That was my question. That's why I switched my name, because I have a real question. Do we think they didn't include his brother because they didn't want to put the actual top flight in this match to protect them as a team not taking the loss? Since now it's like, well, it wasn't really top flight. It was one member and Brock Anderson and Lee Moriarty. Like, it wasn't top flight who they're trying to establish as, like, a real.
Yeah, but it's not like they're losing to the fucking Gun Club. This is a former world champion, one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, and the Ring of Honor peer champion. Like, they're no slouches.
No, I agree. I just, the only reason that's the only justification I could think of putting Brock Anderson in there instead of both members of Top Flight, because both members of Top Flight still fit the young, hungry, you know, box that they're trying to check off. But at least this way you're saying, well, Top Flight hasn't lost. You can use that as an angle down the road you want, if you want to have Dante Martin be like, no, you beat me and somebody else. You didn't beat me and my brother. So it's just a thought. It's the only, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. I love the match. It's nothing against the match. Match is great. I love Yuta's new gear. That's fucking sick looking. I just can't understand why you'd have Brock in there instead of just having both Top Flight, but unless your whole...
Why you have Brock? Why Brock? Like, Brock and the Gun Club can disappear from my television forever, ever, ever, and I'd be fine with it. Like, there's so many guys there that you could have put in that place. I didn't mean to cut you off, Ryan, if you had more to say, but I just, like, the match was fine. I have just no interest in seeing Brock Anderson on my screen. They haven't given him a character at all. He just looks like his dad and is real medium. Like, that's pretty much all we have out of him. And I know you need guys that eat losses, but, like, a Seidel brother, anybody else, like, he doesn't do it for me, unfortunately. But it is, to Matt's point, incredible how over the BCC is. I keep waiting for myself, but mostly for JR to accidentally call them the BBC, because that's going to be incredible when that happens. But
the British Broadcasting Company? I don't understand why that's so funny.
That's what because they're not British, Ryan. It's hilarious. Okay.
Well, one of them is
William Regal. You could get away with it.
That's true. That's a good point.
I thought it was Went over to, they got barbecue sauce in the UK. I'm not doing any more than Dark Side. I'm doing any more than Dark Side of the Ring, sir. Wow. I like the way manipulate my words.
It's been a long time since JR stopped by the show.
Since I was going to Florida, yeah.
Yeah. That was
in the pandemic.
You were putting in hours then, buddy.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Match was great. Lee Moriarty's great. I think it's fun. And I think you guys were right about maybe the screening process starts with Lee Moriarty now. And then I think eventually it'll start with Daniel Garcia, and that'll be who your Blackpool Combat Club is at the end of the day. But this was fun.
I do love the thought of Daniel Garcia being part of that, but I just love him so much right now in the Jericho Appreciation Society. He's such a good wrestler, and he's just like, I am a sports entertainer, and really leaning into it. It's so fun.
You know who I think eventually ends up in the Blackpool Combat Club? It's really hard for me to fucking say Blackpool.
You got there, Matthew. You got there.
Worst. It could be the worst. It's like strictly business. It's not a good name.
There's worse than both of those out there. I'll find them.
I think Cesaro finds his way into.
Yes, he is still hanging out there.
Blackpool Combat Club.
Well, they're from Blackpool, England.
Can I send away for a membership card? Is it in the back of a PWI?
I mean, maybe. Just I think you have to basically send it in a self-addressed stamped envelope.
I got tons of those from my little Matty Bowman days.
There you go. And maybe just put in a blood sample. And I think you'll be good.
There you go.
Ooh, I got some fan packs.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got a Red Sox 2022 calendar if anyone wants it.
No thanks. And you can use that as kindling in the fireplace.
I was just going to say, bonfire fodder.
Well, I think we can agree.
What do you have a finger condom on?
I don't know, because I fidget and I'm playing with a post-it.
Okay, I just didn't know if in the restaurant you have to put on a finger condom, and it's usually a very
bright. And we know Matt doesn't use condoms.
Just in case, so if it falls off and it goes in the food, you could see that your finger condom broke and fell into the food.
I'm just playing with a post-it note.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you hurt yourself.
No, I'm okay. Thank you for your concern.
Sorry, Anthony.
No. I didn't even see Kate fidgeting with a finger condom. Matt's brandishing a knife. Okay.
I used it to unbox something on the Monday night show.
So yeah, you sure you did.
I did. I got my Atom Bomb figures.
I know you did. I was watching.
Atom Bomb figure.
Sometimes I like to watch the B-Show, you know, keep some.
Got to see what the other guys are doing. Yeah. Also, Gordon Post was wondering who the gun club is we speak of. That's true. We should pay Danhausen. So the Ass Boys. We're talking about the Ass Boys. That's the Ass Boys.
Yes. So
15 cents.
But most recently seen on TV with Billy Gunn, who is an ass man.
Well, he's true. Billy Gunn ass.
He's part of the Ass Boys.
Who is talking?
Because I have no
idea. Ass man.
I am Laddie.
So after this match, we have a backstage segment. Adam Cole with the cover cam. Thank you. It's funny how he does it when he's not on camera. But
it was funnier camera, that way.
When he's on camera, he's basically go fuck yourself.
Wow.
Kyle O'Reilly asks where the feisty Bucks are at because they're looking a little depressed, and admits that they've all lost lately, but they have to turn it around and live up to the name of the Undisputed Elite. Tonight, Kyle O'Reilly says he's going to qualify for the Owen Hart Cup. And Adam Cole agrees, saying they, as a team, they won't be stopped. So all of the Bucks' other friends are gone, but the Undisputed guys are still here. And Cole pitches an open challenge, 10-man tag team for next week. They can't do it without the Bucks, and they need them. So please think about it. And he says, I got to go take care of something, but we'll be back, and they go to break. So the Bucks are depressed, guys. None of their friends are there. We got a big pay-per-view coming up in May.
But a lot of their friends are there. The only one not there is Kenny Omega.
All their friends used to be dead, right? Adam Cole was dead, and now he's back.
We can't talk about that.
Okay. I'm just saying Adam Cole was dead.
Just letting you know, you're going to hurt. Someone's going to get upset if you talk about Marty, okay?
I wasn't. Adam Cole was dead.
Don't bring it up.
Stop mentioning his name, Matthew.
All right. Him and Flip
Gordon. Stop bringing up Marty Jannetty. It's so weird that you do that.
I mean, he's no better, Kate. Their story.
He might be worse.
He is 100% worse.
It's no better. Don't say that name. How about we just don't say any Marty's name? Even McFly. Don't even talk about Marty McFly.
Oh, why not talk about Marty McFly?
He's on shaky ground.
I mean, he almost boned his mom in that movie, Kate. I mean, there was a whole thing.
Right, and she almost boned a duck, so.
It's true. She did bone a duck.
No, that was, you know.
It was implied.
Rumor, and I mean, she was in her underoos, and he was just sitting there.
So guys, here's the moment we've all been waiting for. After the break, we get a video package with Samoa Joe versus Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh.
What was that, man?
That's Tony Khan.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. We're not. Okay. We don't want to talk about Sanjay.
No,
Satnam
you can't.
Singh.
I'm sorry. I was getting
sorry.
No, that's fine. I'll
we can talk about Sanjay Dutt.
I like Sanjay Dutt.
It's fine. We'll talk about the announcement nobody was waiting for from Tony Khan.
I'm sorry. Chris Mueller. Dude, don't tell people in public you're a Howard the Duck expert. That is terrible. That's a terrible thing to be an expert at.
He says he's an expert.
Hi, Doc.
He would not admit that to anybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's Did you say thing. Hi, Dad?
Doc.
Oh, Doc. Oh, Jesus. I was like,
hi, Dad. What?
I fucking like,
hi,
weird.
Dad. Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. I saw something on Twitter today where someone had a sign that said CM Punk is Daddy. That's weird.
That is weird.
A little weird, but Kate's now thinking about it, and she's like, I need that.
Yeah, I don't know I got from Pittsburgh.
She's got one of those. So fast, she makes Trevor walk around in one of those CM Punk Halloween costumes.
The full body suit with the tattoos.
All the time.
Grant
All
me the
time.
Serenity to accept the co-host. I cannot change.
Oh, my God.
So if you have guys, any extra CM Punk bodysuits, send them over to Kate.
Yeah.
Just actually, prepare that there will be a hole cut out in the crotch.
And who are you? Like, first, who is talking right now?
It's
second of all.
God.
I don't think God says things like crotchless bug suits.
Chris, we can have a whole look. We can have a whole side conversation about Howard the Duck if you want.
We have actually had that in the past.
I can't do it again. I watched it like a month ago. I'll never get that time back.
No. And
but you got to see duck boobs.
Duck, if we could figure out why Matt's no fun, this whole podcast I am, would fall apart, on, to be honest.
Hold on.
I also want to say real quick, we'll let you address that, Matt, the no fun thing, but...
Yeah, what is that?
You did, if memory serves me correct, you watched Howard the Duck a couple months ago at your recommendation because you told your wife it's a great movie.
No.
No?
I watched it a lot as a child.
That explains so much.
Because it was on HBO all the time. HBO had the same fucking like 10 movies on all the time. And we watched it because we are watching all the Marvel stuff in order. And my wife, who is probably within earshot and is probably going to show up behind me any moment now, because this is like a battle. This is the hill I'm going to die on. She thought, if we're going to do this, we have to watch Howard the Duck. Because it has nothing to do with the MCU at all. Nothing. Zero.
MCU!
Guys, there was a huge announcement on Dynamite. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Matt, do you want to address being no fun?
I don't understand. I am the most fun. You've been to all three of you have been to wrestling shows with me.
You're my favorite person to go to a wrestling show.
Okay, I am, dare I say, and I'm going to be the funnest.
Dare it, Matt. Dare it.
Yeah, dare to be bold.
Dare it.
I might be the funnest. I'm pretty fun.
And that's coming from the guy who scared off Jay White in a casino.
I didn't scare Jay White. I just knew.
We can talk about that later.
I knew.
If I can ever get to the goddamn segment, yes, we can talk.
I knew it wasn't time.
That wasn't time.
No, when we locked eyes.
And he ran away. It wasn't time.
He did fucking run.
He ran away from me.
He might as well have started jogging. No,
he did not run away. We locked eyes, and I knew it was a bad idea.
When you, I don't know if boys did this when they were little, but did you ever see like, or play jump rope when two people have like the long rope and they're spinning it, and you're like timing when to jump in? That was Matt trying to time like a shot with Jay White. It was like, do I go now?
I hesitated getting up from the table.
You did.
I was really pushing him to go. I was like, Matt, this is it. You got to go now. And he double clutched it.
Up until that point in the night, I had been super successful with my interactions.
Yeah. With Santana and Ortiz were like, hey, Matt, to you.
Yeah, they came up to you. And Ortiz came up to you.
I got a hug.
Just Ortiz, that's right.
I got a hug. And I was very respectful to Adam Cole and Britt Baker when we saw them in the hallway.
You were?
Yep.
Ruby Soho, who's like this big.
Yeah, I know how it goes.
What really happened was Matt and Jay White locked eyes. Sixpence None the Richer started playing. And Matt got afraid of what that could mean for his future. So he just stayed seated.
No.
Accurate.
It's not what happened. Story I did out. This twice. I saw him and I was like, I got to go. And then I sat back down and I was like, I got to go again. And at that point, he had definitely seen me do that. So he knew. And then we locked eyes and I was like, this is a bad idea.
And he like Homer Simpsoned into the bushes away.
He didn't. I went back to the roulette table and he went to find a place to eat.
Which would be anywhere 500 yards away from where you were at the moment. He just wanted to be away. He really did. He saw
Tony Khan's major announcement tonight was a restraining order against Matt.
Well, it should have been.
Sad.
Didn't happen.
Guys, the huge announcement tonight.
We got a huge announcement tonight, you guys.
Huge. It's going to be great. It's going to be huge. You know what they say about my hands? Huge hands.
Big gloves.
Huge announcement.
See, now all I'm thinking about is It's Always Sunny and Charlie's huge announcement, uncle.
Tony. Oh, yeah, with the giant hands, yes.
These hands.
Huge announcement. Tony Schiavone introduces Tony Khan. and Tony lets us know that he's going to bring out somebody. It's Takami Obari, the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling. But before he can say anything, Adam Cole cuts them off on the big screen, saying he's the man most suited to make the announcement. So on June 26th, AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling are going to come together at the United Center in Chicago for the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. And Rampage is going to have a little preview of that show as he and Tomohiro Ishii will wrestle in an Owen Hart Foundation tournament qualifier. So that was exciting. But then, Matt's best friend is introduced. The Switchblade comes out. He says it's no coincidence that the last New Japan Pro Wrestling show had a big co-promotional event in America, sold out Madison Square Garden. And it's not about New Japan or AEW. It's about the Undisputed Elite and the Bullet Club, because it's still their era. So, folks, June 26th, Chicago, the United Center. A couple days after my birthday.
I'm going to look into
who's coming with me.
I'm going to check with the boss tomorrow.
Rhiannon?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, work.
All right, I'm going to cut this clip out. What is it, an hour 26?
Oh, gee, she'll be fucking thrilled to sleep in the bed alone. Are you kidding me? No tossing and turning, no snoring. Are you fucking out of your mind?
Matt, you want to share a bed in Chicago?
Oh, not with you, you fucking walrus. Are you kidding me? I don't move at all. One of the worst nights of sleep in my life.
Hey, Ant, do you ever have dreams?
I do have dreams.
Yeah. Matt, you know what fucked it up for me?
What fucked it up?
The show's at like 6 o'clock, man. Is that 7 o'clock our time then?
Yes.
Yes.
I might be able to like do the farmer's market and then just drive right to Newark Airport.
I mean, that's big. It's a 2-hour flight. It's quick.
All right, yeah. I'm gonna see. Oh, we're gonna look into this. I'm gonna look into this tomorrow.
Oh boy.
Sorry. So this is very exciting.
Matt, as the I guess Mark Order podcast resident expert on New Japan Pro Wrestling, because you're definitely not the Japanese wrestling expert on the B show. I'm sorry.
It's not true. Kevin didn't know what wrestling Dontaku was.
You're not the expert though. You don't know
how Tony is.
Yeah.
Look. All right. Whatever. Misinformation, fountain of misinformation over here, but proceed.
But you are our New Japan Pro Wrestling expert. Until somebody can beat you at a quiz show or something. What do you think about this show? Is this an exciting? Does this live up to huge announcement?
I think so. I don't see why it wouldn't. Okada's gonna come to the United States and he's gonna maybe wrestle Bryan Danielson. That's pretty fucking huge. You know, outside of Fight TV shitting the bed on Saturday night, Moxley and Ospreay, I heard, was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Adam Cole Naito. Like, the possibilities are endless. There's so much history, like Andrade's history there. Adam Cole, Red Dragon. Kushida left the WWE, so who knows where he'll be in June. Yeah. Tanahashi, Jay White, the Bullet Club, there's stories there. Sonata's out.
I'm wondering, do you guys think this is where Kenny Omega comes back?
I was thinking that for sure. Because of everything they were kind of building with the Bucks in the prior segment, them being depressed, Adam Cole saying their friends aren't here. You know, all their friends are gone. So I thought maybe this is where we could get Kenny Omega to show up. I don't believe he'll be in any condition to wrestle. Last I heard, which wasn't very recent, but last I had seen was he had still been waiting for some surgery. I don't know if he's had it since, but that hernia surgery, I think they said from the time he gets it will take at minimum 6 weeks until it's recovered. And then obviously you'd have to you know, try to get back into ring shape, right? So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's end of June, so it's 2 months away. So that's 8 weeks. So I don't believe if he showed up at this show, he'd be in any capacity to wrestle unless he did get that final surgery a week ago and nobody knows, right? So,
or what if it's Danielson versus Okada and Kenny comes out at the end?
I mean, listen, there are a lot of spoons in the porridge, as somebody on this show likes to say. And we like to stir it up like red velvet sometimes. Listen, I think that this does live up to huge announcements just because I feel like there was a lot of stuff out there where it's like, who is New Japan going to work with, right? Because there were a lot of people who were trying to kind of get that relationship and set something up. There were rumors that the EU was trying to do it.
I think those went away when Danielson left, though. I think that was a Danielson-specific try.
Yeah, but, I agree. But still, the conversations were there. Yeah, they had worked with Impact. They worked a little bit with AEW. So I think that's where most people thought they were going to go. But there was definitely nothing about doing a joint show. So yeah, I mean, and don't forget too, Tony Khan now owns Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor and New Japan have a history in their past running the Garden Super Show,
which there's they a referenced lot of, tonight, which I really appreciated.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. So there is definitely a lot of history between these three companies that could be part of the show. And it'll be interesting to see how they kind of line up this show, right? Is it going to be a whole card of like New Japan versus AEW? Is it going to be mixed in some cases? You know, they could go a whole bunch of different ways with it. But I think this is really, really fun. Yeah.
You could get the important best friends versus the other ones.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You mean the real members of Chaos?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Oh, okay. The best friends have exploded. I don't know if you...
No, they've only lost one member, so that's not true.
I mean, he wasn't really a member. Chris isn't an alien anymore.
Doesn't mean she's not a best friend.
Oh, we're going through some changes over there. People
she
are
was more of a friend changes. Than, she was more of a friend than Wheeler.
It's true.
Okay, so
I'm just saying Chaos versus Chaos would be the thing that everyone cares about the most.
Matt, I'm sorry, Matt. I don't want to forget this. Somebody in my house recently, somebody in my house cannot stop saying Roppongi Vice.
Nice. Like, please. Have you let them listen to the song?
Oh, he's heard the song.
Nice.
And he's like, what's Roppongi
Vice?
It's like, it's the wrestling team. He goes, I say Roppongi, you say Vice. We've been That's playing awesome. Those games too. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. I think a lot of AEW fans might be disappointed with the show if they do a format that they did when they did New Japan All Japan this year, where it was a lot of tag matches. But maybe they don't. Maybe they try and play up to the United States crowd. The Japanese crowd understands what they're doing and the history and the lineage and the importance of New Japan versus All Japan. Pro wrestling was huge for them. But like you said, Ant, like there's so much history. You could have AEW guys who are fighting for, like they're representing. Like I could see Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith getting together as the Killer Elite Squad to represent New Japan to take on the House of Black or something fucking weird like that. You know, like there's so many possibilities. I think it's huge. And the success of New Japan in the States, they just sold out that show in, what was it, Chicago? They couldn't even fit the fucking people in the goddamn building. And they're doing DC and they already announced Moxley, Tanahashi, Brody King and Suzuki. And there's one more.
Was it Eddie Kingston?
Eddie Kingston and is it Eddie Kingston Big Tom or Eddie Kingston...
I'm trying to look it up.
I think it's Eddie Kingston, Big Tom. Oh, I should have it in my notes right here from the other night. That's not my notes.
Well, you two look it up. So I was excited for this until they brought out like some wrestler who's just clearly lower card. Some dude that goes by Blade or switchy or something.
Hold on, before clearly, the Kate Sucks 42069. It's Kingston and Big Tom, Moxley, Tanahashi, and Brody King, Minoru Suzuki in DC in May.
It's weird. I saw Ishii, Eddie Kingston, but maybe that changed.
I just said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said somebody else. Sorry.
No, Brody King and Suzuki.
Oh, okay. That's what I heard. Okay, sorry.
Sorry. You were saying Kate Sucks 42069.
42069, bro. That, you know, there you go. And that you know, I was fine until they brought out that scrub, that nobody. Would have liked someone better, but you know, it is what it is. Truthfully, this makes a lot of sense. They have a ton of hardcore wrestling fans in their fan base, so why wouldn't you do something like this? Like, you see a lot of people online, how, and not like casuals, like talking former wrestlers and stuff, being like, how does this grow the casual fan base? Who fucking cares? Like, if yes, you want to get new fans, you want to grow, but if you don't do things for your actual already current customers and fans, you're going to lose them. And they're more important because they're the ones paying you. So something like this is genius because it's just going to get more of those people in. And you have a better chance of getting casual fans by doing what you do really well than by trying to cater to what they may want. You know, you're better off doing your thing really well.
And don't forget, New Japan and Ring of Honor sold out fucking Madison Square Garden WrestleMania weekend a couple years ago. And look, AEW is, I think we're all in agreement, is 100 times bigger than Ring of Honor. So, like, this is a no-brainer. Like, that event's going to sell out in minutes, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I wish they didn't call it the fucking Forbidden Door.
The worst.
Actually.
The worst.
But it could and finally Matt, kill that phrase, though.
Matt, we met at that event.
We did.
Duh.
That was where I met you guys outside. We had a couple drink before going inside. And Tony Z kept yelling at the guy dressed up just like Nakamura to come on.
Bro, you can't cosplay like Nakamura and not do it. Come on.
Belt and all. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great show. And don't forget too that this also exposes some of the brand to the Japanese fan base who maybe isn't tied into it, right? So I think this goes both ways. Good exposure for both brands, current fans, you know, new fans, casual fans, whatever. I think this is going to be a home run for them. As we said, June 26th, United Center in Chicago is when the pay-per-view will take place. Tickets, they said, go on sale Friday. So hope you can get a ticket if you want to go. I have a feeling this is going to be a quick seller. Guys, we get a quick look backstage. Jade Cargill is hanging out with Red Velvet and Kira Hogan. Looks like a new faction. And Smart Mark Sterling is also with them. Jade's saying she's not afraid of Marina Shafir. She'll see her on Friday, bitch. So pretty quick, just build to the TBS title match on Friday. And then we see MJF and Sean Spears in the skybox, and MJF is running down the crowd as he normally does. And says that Wardlow's a nobody just like everybody else there. He's not going to get an entrance tonight. No music. And Mr. Mayhem comes out in handcuffs, but is released from him right before the match, and we can go to their match. So we get the Butcher, Andy Williams, versus Wardlow. Wardlow winds up winning by pinfall after the Powerbomb Symphony, and immediately following the match, they cuff him and lead him out of the arena, and we go to another break. I don't think anybody thought that Wardlow was going to lose this match, But MJF was definitely looking nervous up in that skybox. So the story continues between these guys. Any thoughts on this match, Matt or Kate? Oh, I'm sorry. Matt's saying tickets go on sale May 6th. That seems awful late. I thought I saw something before that said Friday, so my apologies.
Friday, May 6th.
I thought they said this. I thought I saw something that said this Friday. So my apologies. We have a little bit of time, but still, good luck on May 6th. Kate, any thoughts on this match? Any issues?
No, I like the way the story is rolling out. If we, not to like cut too far ahead, but Lance Archer fighting Wardlow next, I think is good. I just wish it was also Blade. Like, I think it would have been fun to have said, you know what every good butcher needs is a good Blade. So it just feels like that would have been a logical back-to-back, but I thought the match itself was good. Butcher's looked great, and also on that road to Pittsburgh thing, he cut a really good promo. I wish they would let him talk a little bit more, maybe now that all this Hardy Family Office nonsense is starting to disintegrate. We'll get to see a little bit more of that, but he's looked fantastic in these solo bouts. I think he's been really good.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's looked good, and they're kind of setting him off on a solo journey at some point. Matt, what'd you think of the match at MJF?
The match was good. MJF and Sean Spears were fantastic, throwing popcorn on the crowd and running out Pittsburgh. You know, beautiful city, shitty sports teams, shitty people, rapists, all that stuff. So that was great. The Butcher looks great. I expected nothing short of a Wardlow win here. I can't believe he powerbombed him as many times as he did, and he made it look fucking easy. The handcuffing thing is hysterical, and the way he just, like, he doesn't fight it. He's just like, job's done. Fuck you, Max. Put me in the cuffs. I'll walk to the back nice and quiet. I love it. I love the story, you know, and like Kate said, jumping ahead, like the idea that, like, you know, clearly Max is not happy with the Butcher or the Blade, I'm assuming, their package deal, and that he has to go out and hire somebody else. And it being Lance Archer, I mean, that's one of those, I never thought I wanted to see it until it was like, fucking Lance Archer and Wardlow? Are you fuck? Give me. Let's do it.
I just did mean to mention, too, that I, in my notes, wrote, I did not realize that Butcher and Wardlow were the same height until they pointed it out on commentary and I saw them in the ring together. I don't think I realized Butcher was like 6'3", and in my head I thought Wardlow was 6'8", because he's always in there with someone who's like 5'10", or whatever MJF is. So it was also just fun to see. Now we're getting to see Wardlow pick on some guys his own size pretty consistently. So that's a lot of fun too. I did not realize Butcher was that tall.
Yeah, he's a big boy. But the power bombs did look easy. Schlong, any thoughts? Or I'm sorry, Highlanders. Kate sucks. 42069. Any comments on the match?
I mean, the match was what it was. It was fine for telling the story, which is a great story. I got nothing against it. I'm very excited for Wardlow versus Archer. So if this is the stepping stone to get there, I'm really on board, because like Matt said, it's kind of this. MJF is just going to keep paying people until he finds someone that could do the job, and eventually no one will be able to, which makes me feel a little bit bad for Archer. He's going to take another loss, but that's a fun story. Like, that is a fun Matt, you know, MJF is doing everything he can to punish Wardlow, and Wardlow keeps winning. I don't know how you don't love that, especially the way they've been telling it. It's actually been a really well told story that hasn't involved those two actually, you know, wrestling each other or interacting or fighting. It's been told they've been in the same room at times, but overall they've been kept apart, and that's just made it even better.
Well, we will get to see Lance Archer and Wardlow next week. We'll talk about the full cards for next week. We'll run them down to make sure you know what's coming up. But this is a fun story, so we'll see. We definitely have to get to Double or Nothing, I think, to resolve this issue between MJF and Wardlow. When we get back from commercial, we get an Eddie Kingston promo, so Kate marked out. He tells Garcia that none of the stablemates are going to be allowed in the building for their match, and tells Jericho to watch it, because everything he does to Garcia is going to be meant for him. He's going to have fun and whip Daniel Garcia really good, so bad that his friends and family won't recognize him. He says, you reap what you sow, but Eddie Kingston doesn't sow, he reaps. And we're out of the promo. Kate, anything you want to say about this? I only ask because you're an Eddie Kingston mark.
I am an Eddie Kingston mark. this is just great. I've just really enjoyed this story a lot as well. It seems like they've gotten better about maybe the timing of these stable on stable feuds. I feel like Jericho and the Jericho Appreciation Society and LAX reformed have really like moved at a better clip. And I feel like what we're getting with Ward, though, it's not stable on stable, but it's like the same thing of somebody running through a stable or whatever. Like the development of that has just moved at a better pace. I feel like the stuff has not been stuck in the mud. Like we've seen so many previous stories get stuck before. And even the thing that is the longer burn with the Blackpool Combat Club, it's a longer burn with a really good reason, right? Like Wheeler Yuta has gotten so over in this time. Wardlow has gotten so over in this time. Like they're really helping these new stars come along with these stables a lot better than I think they had in the past. So I loved the promo and I like the story, and Eddie is just so fucking violent with stuff. Like the tape promo that he did last week was just like, holy shit, if I want somebody in a foxhole with me, it's that guy. Like, holy crap. So, of course, I'm a huge Eddie Mark. This was great. He's so good at being, like, short and sweet, saying what he needs to say and getting the fuck out of there. So, always appreciate that from him.
Well, it was also nice that we didn't get some sort of beatdown segment tonight after a couple weeks of, like, beatdown. So I'll always take a promo like that and look forward to the match with Garcia and Kingston. We go to our Owen Hart qualifying match for the men's side next. Jungle Man Jack Perry versus Kyle O'Reilly. And cutting to the end of this, Kyle O'Reilly wins by pinfall with a diving knee. To qualify for the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. After the match, Christian Cage comes down to console Jungle Boy on his loss, who's looking pretty down since he didn't make it into the tournament. Not sure if anybody felt surprised by Kyle O'Reilly winning this. I thought it was a pretty good match, but, you know, either guy in the tournament will be good. We'll have to see what story gets set up, but any issues with this, Schlong?
So I was confused at first until you had Christian walk out, and then it made all the sense in the world because you're clearly lining up the Christian turn on Jungle Man, and I am very much here for that, and I like how subtly it was done because there's really no indication for it. It's just people who've watched wrestling long enough know that that's a bad sign that he's apologizing and, you know, talking to Christian after a match. So I'm very excited to see that. So I was okay with it, and it furthers the Undisputed Elite storyline with, you know, O'Reilly winning. He needed that, and it doesn't really hurt Jungle Boy. He could take the loss. He's tag champion, so right now his focus isn't on singles, so who cares. So I was good with this all the way around, and I was okay with it in that, but I got way okay with it once I saw Christian walk out. That changed everything for me.
Look at Ryan, so excited to see a mentor turn on his protege.
It's a tale as old as time, Matt.
A tale as old as time.
I don't know what you thought was going to happen. I don't know what you thought was going to happen there, Ant. You teed that up, bro. That's on you.
It's just, yeah. Not everything needs a song.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's a song. Everyone stopped. Not one person talked because they all know you teed me up. Like, that's not on me.
It's like a beach ball at Raw, just waiting for someone to smack.
What do you think here, Matt?
Good match, quality match. I like Kyle O'Reilly advancing because I think Cole beats Big Tom on Friday night. We're going to see it with FTR, a qualifying match against each other, and maybe somewhere in this tournament you might see the Undisputed Elite come toe-to-toe. So it's good storytelling all around. I understand where Ryan's heart is. He chooses violence, and that's fine.
Sure, sure.
A violent man, Matthew.
Clearly, when the 76ers are on and it's the playoffs. a little surprised, but I like it. I like the change. I like heel Ryan. If you come back in the camera and you have a full beard painted on you like Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Oh, if I had fucking any kind of paint, I would. I have nothing.
You can Sharpie it on. Just take a Sharpie.
Another basketball game next Wednesday night. I like it, though. I like the outcome. I like Kyle going ahead because it's another spoon in the porridge, another wrinkle in the story. You know?
Spoon in the
get porridge. A win over him in singles, but can you beat him for tag team gold? Him and his dinosaur friend?
Yeah. Look at that. Whoa. And he's speaking another language. Kate, any thoughts? Anything to add?
I think it's good that Matt spoke another language because English isn't always like the strongest. But
well, he's mastered English. He's moved on.
Fair.
Yeah. You can do Spanish too.
I really liked this match. It was nice to see Kyle O'Reilly in the ring. I don't know why I'm putting over the road to Pittsburgh thing so hard, but I think Jungle Boy has gotten more and more comfortable on the mic, or at least in a pre-tape sense. This was some of his stronger work on that special, and Kyle O'Reilly, he said something like a pissed off KOR is a violent one or a dangerous one or something like that. And it was just nice to see that come out. He really does lay his shit in. When I was like having a bad day and watching Samoa Joe matches, one of them that I watched was Samoa Joe and Kyle O'Reilly, and it is a classic. But the match in front of me was great. I feel like this isn't Jungle Boy's tournament to win. You know what I mean? So him going out early doesn't bother me. I think maybe, yeah, you see Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish face each other, or maybe you just see him and like Nick Jackson or something at some point. I think that could be very, very fun. We're not to be a spoiler of a show that we already saw, but like we're going to see Cash Wheeler versus Dax Harwood. I think that's really fun. So if they're using this to set that type of stuff up, I think that's an absolute blast. Why not? And I thought the match was great. Very different styles. And a lot of fun. Like a lot of really, really solid just in-ring wrestling on tonight's episode overall, I thought.
Yeah, and commentary did a good job during this too of talking about how O'Reilly was trying to ground Jungle Boy because of his high-impact offense. So really good stories being told all around. It'll be interesting to see what's next in this tournament for Kyle O'Reilly. So we'll see what comes next. We get MJF backstage being interviewed, and he says the Butcher didn't get the job done, but there's money, more money where that came from. And he said, like a snake, when he decides you're his prey, it doesn't matter how big or bad you are. All it takes is a bite. And that's when Jake the Snake comes in and grabs the envelope, and he starts talking all this stuff about titles and jewelry and all that kind of stuff are for boys, but for him, it's all about the money. And he's trying to tell a story about when you were a kid, you didn't want to tell your grandmother that, you know, your dad hit you and you'd say you fell down. But that's when Lance Archer comes in, swats the money down and says, I just want to fight. Everybody dies. And that's how we know we're going to get Lance Archer versus Wardlow next in this little kind of challenges of MJF on Wardlow. So looking forward to it.
I just want to chime in and say that I appreciate references to wins meaning making more money. Like, you should always be gunning for the pay window. And in my little wrestling mind, I love that. It feels old school to me. So I just appreciated that in this promo, that it was about making more money. And if you're a manager, you should definitely be concerned about making money, because what the hell else are you there for? So I appreciated that in this. I pop for the winner's purse in the pay window every time.
True. You should always want to win and get that money.
Money, 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 money. You could just get the money like Garrett Cole and never win.
Very true. You don't barely have to pitch. Listen, I'm a Yankee fan, and that was fucking shit, Kate.
Zinger. It was.
Enjoy your Pirates.
You can Robbie Bonilla and get paid the rest of your life.
Enjoy your Pirates pitcher.
He's the ace. Guys, big debut. Big debut next. We get Hook making his Dynamite debut against Anthony Henry. So,
of the Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast.
A recent,
that's right.
Yes, a couple weeks ago, Mr. Henry.
Did you, if you knew he was going to wrestle Hook, you could have sent your condolences early.
I didn't. I also, after I booked him, he was on. He wrestled in the first tag match against Moxley and Danielson.
Yeah. Well, you could have wished him twice the condolences then. But Hook does win by submission with the Red Rum. It is worth noting that right before the end of this match, Danhausen shows up to try to curse Hook again. he's throwing, he just keeps throwing the fingers out there, pointing at Hook, but nothing is happening. Hook does win with the red rum. So post-match, Danhausen grabs the mic and gets in the ring and says that if Hook doesn't want to be cursed by Danhausen, then Hook will fight Danhausen. And Danhausen quickly realizes he's fucked up and tries to sort of back off, but Hook just pushes right through him and leaves the ring. So unfortunately, it looks like Danhausen will get killed at the hands of Hook. But good to see. It looks like hopefully at some point Danhausen is making his return to the ring. So look at that.
Using Danhausen's
going to get some monies.
Human sacks of money.
That's he had right. his gear on. Which is the first thing I noticed when he stepped out. I was like, uh-oh, man, this is different. He's got gear on. And he got a loud pop when he popped, when he challenged Hook. Like, that was as loud as it got tonight. So I'm very excited for Danhausen to lose that match, only because I want to see Danhausen wrestle. And it's going to be fun and funny. And I'm just happy he's healthy.
You know, I should also mention here, forgot to mention, I should also mention ringside watching this match was one Mr. Mark Sterling and his newest client, a Mr. Tony Nese. And this is where I was told, by the way, on my couch on television, and I was told he is, quote, a vision in blue. So I have that going for me.
You're lucky you have better abs than him. So that's all I'm saying.
I have a better ab than him, yes.
I am curious to see if this Danhausen Hook match happens. Because they have... It's curious because the Hook has been presented as like... He's a killer, right? He's Taz's kid. He's a killer. Taz is all business. Hook is pretty much all business. Like, I don't know. Is Danhausen going to pour a jar of teeth in Hook's mouth? Like, I don't know if they let that happen.
I got to be honest, though. Like, I just... This is a not a pairing I ever would have thought we would have seen. I feel like Hook is knocking it out of the park. Like, when they did that segment with him in the locker room and his headphones in, when whoever was backstage was trying to talk to him.
Oh, and Lexi Danhausen, Neal, or whatever the fuck her name is.
Yeah, it was so funny. Like, it's so weird, but I feel like, I don't know, I'm like optimistically waiting for it to play out because I think it's been really, really fun. And I'm with you. I don't know if the payoff is going to be a bell-to-bell actual match of any sort, especially with Danhausen coming off of a very bad injury. But I've just been loving this angle way more than I thought I would. Like, it's just fun. Like, it's just so much damn fun. And I feel like Hook has done... They've done a good job of like testing him in ring with different opponents of different styles and sizes. And now I feel like this is a test of like, how do you handle the weird shit that comes up in pro wrestling? And I feel like killing it. Like, I think this has been a blast. So why not?
Yeah. I was going to say, maybe this is what pushes Hook to his limit, right? The weird stuff, the teeth in the jar being poured into his mouth, you know, like that would be the only thing I can imagine. Asian Joe also brings up a good possibility. Nese interferes in the Hook Danhausen match. That's how they protect Danhausen. Also saying,
and you got like Hook versus Nese, which I think that's a little more like
wheelhouse.
Yeah,
I think that's a little more on par with the Hook brand, you know.
Asian Joe also says if it leads to Hook and Danhausen versus Nese and Sterling, he's there for it. So that could be something as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But imagine being Tony Nese in that scenario. Like, what?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just fun to see this Danhausen thing play out for weeks, trying to curse him off TV and now on TV, trying to curse him yet again. Just a lot of fun, just so much fun. And to Ryan's point, huge pop for Danhausen tonight. Guy's got followers everywhere. Give him your monies and we'll do it again. Ass boys. There you go. Another nickel in his jar. Guys, Frankie Kazarian is backstage and he's about to challenge Sammy Guevara to a match, but Scorpio Sky interrupts and says it's important. He's had time to reflect and he's had a hell of a run. None of that would have been possible if it wasn't for Kaz, and he needed a shot in the past asked for a favor. The rest is history with SCU. And he said he's going to ask him for one more favor. He wants Frankie to wait for his shot. Let Scorpio challenge first. And then if he wins, he'll give Kaz his first shot. And Kaz says that he's always had Scorpio's back and he always will. They shake hands. So the agreement is there. Kaz is not going to challenge Sammy Guevara for the belt. So we do find out in the next segment. So I'm going to go into it because it all lays into each other. Sammy and Tay, Matt's favorites, are in the ring. Looking awful heelish tonight, huh? Sammy in the fur hooded coat. Tay in the, leopard print bra that you can see through her shirt. Awful heelish. And Sammy talks about how he loves this and he feels like he's on top of the world. As a three-time champion, he's got the love of his life in the ring with him. He loves everyone that cheers for him, and he'll give them everything forever because they deserve it. But for the rest of the people that turn their backs on him, he wants to know why, and he's got one opinion, be mad. So that's mm-hmm. when the Men of the Year and Dan Lambert enter, and Scorpio Sky, you know, asks if this is how it's going to be, turning his back on the fans and everyone who supported them. Kind of saying that the feeling isn't screw them, it's screw Sammy. And that's when Ethan Page grabs the mic and says, not a single person there tonight paid for a ticket to see Sammy talk. And the only reason they're not kicking his ass right now is because Dan decided it's all about business tonight. And that's when Lambert goes on this thing about youth being wasted on the young, and he can't take his tongue out of his girlfriend's mouth, and he says he's got two choices: give Sky his rematch or take a beating from the Men of the Year. And Guevara says he'll give Scorpio the rematch if they'll give him the mixed tag match that he wants. Sky accepts. Sammy books a ladder match for next week, and we're all set. So we're going to have a ladder match for the TNT title next week. I don't know how this is going to play out. I really want Scorpio to take this title back, but I don't want to see this title go back and forth like this. It just, I don't know. I don't know. It'll be a good match. Like, it'll be a good match, but I just don't know how I feel about this. And the mixed tag thing, it's like, I thought that was kind of over, but it's not. Matt, you've been shaking your head and vomiting silently into a bucket. Why don't you give us your opinion?
I hate. Look, there's no doubt Scorpio Sky and Sammy in a ladder match is going to be amazing next week. It's not the in-ring stuff. I guess it's working, right? He's natural, you know. It's an organic thing. Like, people, he's the good looking guy with the smoking hot fucking girlfriend who's the champion, right? And he is not afraid to tongue kiss her, which is disgusting on TV, to the point where Tony Schiavone was like, can we not do this last week? It's easy to hate the fucking guy, right? And it's happening. And instead of them like pushing back against it and be like, oh, guys, I'm the good guy, I just love her so much, he's going to fucking play it up as a douche. I fucking hate it. I hate him. I hate everything about him. I hate his fucking face. I hate his dumb hair. I hate him going crazy. I hate it. I hate Tay Conti. I don't want to see a fucking, what?
I'm surprised.
Would I want to see her naked? Sure. I can still hate her. I still hate her fucking character.
Okay.
Okay.
This is new.
Do I want to see a fucking mixed tags match with them and Paige VanZant?
No.
Absolutely fucking not. The only saving grace is that this is all some weird ploy, right? Where Ethan Page turns on Scorpio Sky and we get the reunited SCU, because they kind of laid that down there tonight. And then you could have Sammy be with Dan Lambert, and they could be super mega fucking jerk off heels together, and they can make inappropriate Pound Town jokes to each other about Sammy's girlfriend and Paige VanZant. And they could be like a bitchy tag team or something. And I can change the channel. I'll watch fucking grass grow.
There is an important question in the chat, though, Matt.
Yes.
Asian Joe would like FMK, Sammy, Marco, Fuego del Sol. For those who don't know, by the way, FMK, fuck, marry, kill.
Yes. We're going to kill Sammy Guevara.
Kill Sammy.
Wow.
That's on brand.
Wow.
I think I'm going to marry Fuego. What? Because he's got this past history with Sammy. He's very loyal. Right? So he'll be a loyal feller. And then I guess I'm banging Marco Stunt because he's got the long hair like a girl, but he's really tiny, so that'll be uncomfortable.
He's like, man, I am shocked at this.
Yeah, you know what? How the tides have turned.
Yeah, I thought you would have hate fucked Sammy, killed Marco, and married Fuego. That's where I thought.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
No, yeah. Marrying Fuego might be the smart because he's very loyal.
He's a family man.
And he's benign. He's a jobber, but there's nothing that we like.
He always wears a mask, so I don't even know if he's ugly.
But I mean, we know Sammy's attractive. So like, if you're gonna fuck anyone, go for the hot guy.
No, I want to kill. I can't stand him.
All right.
Because I don't need, you know, because he's got the abs.
That's why I go for it.
He looks like he works the tongue, all right.
Different folks for different strokes, Sean.
Well, if you're
different strokes for different folks.
If you're the Highlander on the right, you also have abs. So you guys can talk about that.
No, I don't ever have abs.
You're the Highlander on the left?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Matthew, for your FMK. And thank you, Asian Joe, for throwing that out there. Shalong, what is your take on this whole thing?
So I like that they're leaning into Sammy just being full on heel. It works for what they're doing. Listen, even if you're not being some people got mad at the Sammy Tay relationship for creepy weird reasons, but even if now that you're beyond that, no one likes the overly PDA couple. Never in history has that couple been loved. In real life, on TV, anywhere, like everyone hates them. So the minute you go that route, you're going to get hated. And he just does a much better job as a heel. Scorpio Sky, we want to cheer him. He's been working his ass off for so long. People are like, he deserves this. So I like that this is where they're going with it. I will be really annoyed if they revert Scorpio back to heel after this or during this, because then I am really like, what did we do here? I love the idea of Ethan Page turning on Scorpio Sky. Maybe in the ladder match, maybe that's how he doesn't win and he gets another rematch, which I know people are like, another match, but face it, guys, it's going to happen. And you go down the road, but we'll see. I like that they're flipping the roles. I just kind of want this storyline to wrap up because it's very much a carryover from Cody and Brandy, and they put Tay and Sammy in there and it didn't work at all. And now they're trying to like scramble to make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Yeah, these were the same reactions that Brandy and Cody were getting, and they copied and pasted Tay and Sammy into that situation. I think I will like the end result if we end up with a Sky babyface away from American Top Team facing Ethan Page, and Sammy and Tay are both heels, especially now that Thunder Rosa is a face too. Like, a heel Tay challenger is some intrigue because they also both have MMA backgrounds. So I think that's a very healthy decision. I just don't love the route that they're taking to get there. But sometimes stuff in pro wrestling doesn't work. Like, that Satnam Singh thing was a massive failure. Who cares? Like, you move on. I just don't want this to drag out that much longer. And I wish they were doing the mixed tag match next week and then putting off the ladder match for the following week. I just feel like that would make more sense. But Paige VanZant's got to debut somehow, sometime. Tay obviously has the judo background, so they should hopefully have some good chemistry. But yeah, and I'm excited they brought SCU back because I think that's an important part and a forgotten part of Scorpio Sky's history. People forget, like, Jericho's first loss was just on a random episode of Dynamite to Scorpio Sky. Like, he was pretty over as a babyface before this heel turn. So, and I just love Ethan Page. I love him working heel. him coming out and bringing so much energy to the promo tonight, I thought was just fantastic. Saying nobody bought a ticket to see you is such a great, great line. And this was the most palatable Dan Lambert's ever been. So go figure. Dan Lambert as a heel has, or as a face, has more intrigue to me as a heel, because he was picking on Sammy tonight, not calling Tay a whore. So I don't love it, but I think if it gets us to the result I think it's leading to, I'll be okay with it, because we can move on from there and people in roles that they should be in.
Well, we'll see where they go from here. We get the match next week, so we'll see if this title shifts yet again. But I certainly am in agreement that I think if we're going this way with Scorpio to turn face, we've got to pull him away from the top team. Let's put him back with Kaz. Let's rebuild SCU and get that going, because Kaz is also a great wrestler. So they should utilize him a bit more.
And a banger theme that was underrated, the SCU theme.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Pride of the West.
Although I do miss when they were heels and they every place is the worst place they've ever been.
Oh, phenomenal.
Just perfect. We do get a little vignette from the House of Black where they say they're owed a debt and Icarus flew too close to the sun. Next week, the sun dies. So, Matt, you'd better get your proposal in quickly here, because Fuego going to be dead. We get our women's qualifying match for the Owen tournament. Or the Owen Cup, and it's Britt Baker versus Danielle Camella, who they've been showing on Dark and stuff like that. She's pretty good. The match was good. Britt Baker comes out winning by submission with the lockjaw to qualify for the tournament, and post-match she addresses the natives of Brittsburg. She says that over the last few weeks she made it clear or the last few weeks have made it clear the women's division is a disaster without her. Insults Ruby Soho, tells Toni Storm that Jamie Hayter is going to make her want to leave the company too. If she thought cake was bad, she'll leave this one as well. After Hayter's through with her, says that Jade Cargill called Pittsburgh ugly, but the only people there that wanted to see her are the people she comped tickets to in the baddie section. So Britt is reestablishing herself as part of this division. Maybe at some point she's the one who's going to go after a TBS title if things don't work out for her in this tournament. So, Kate, what did you think of the match? Anything you want to say about the post-match?
Match was fine. Britt looks good. I know you don't like the lockjaw. I do. I thought this was fun. It's heartwarming how over she is in Pittsburgh and how the place just comes so unglued for her. It really is nice that they don't try and shove stuff down your throat of making heels and faces work accordingly in their hometowns. I actually really liked the promo after. She was gassed from that match giving it, but she said a lot of really good stuff. She, putting over and burying in the same breath, like the baddie section, I thought was great. Like all those things that are true, like the women's disaster division has been a disaster since she hasn't been there. There were a lot of things in there that rang true, which I always appreciate. So I thought it was a pretty good promo, kind of exhausted. Maybe it should have been a backstage, but very nice to see her get to talk in front of her hometown. And man, that place just absolutely erupts when her music hits. So much fun.
Schlong, anything to say about the match or the post-match?
No, I mean, it got a decent amount of time, which was nice. It didn't feel super rushed. I think the entrances, the match, and the post-match were just about 11 minutes, which isn't super long, but isn't short either. She definitely, if Kate didn't comment on how tired she sounded after the match, I was going to, because my God, did she fumble a couple words just because she couldn't catch her breath. But overall, it was solid. I like what they're still doing, like that she's not she hasn't lost that cockiness to her. I was a little worried what they might do with her. You bitch. Someone changed my name. I was a little worried what they would do with her after she lost, but now that she's still cocky, I'm happy with that, because it took her a while to find that character, and I don't want her to lose what she got.
Schlong, and I'm only going to ask how you think Daniela or Danielle Camella looked, because she's been featured on Dark a bunch. I thought she looked pretty good tonight.
She did look pretty good. She actually had a good, she had a dark match this week. I don't know if it was Elevation or Dark. They blend together with me, where she looked real good and she had an awesome like neck breaker on that. So she's impressive. She also has some stuff outside. Like they talk about, she's been a cheerleader. She was the dancer. She has like a notoriety from outside AEW, which is always helpful. If they're looking for talent to bring in someone with some notoriety, as long as they can wrestle, and it does appear she can at least wrestle. Okay. You know, I think she's pretty good. I would like to see more of her, but at the same point, this is AEW, so chances are I don't see her for 6 weeks.
True. She could wind up in Ring of Honor, too, if they decide to go that route at some point. Matt, any thoughts on the match?
Nothing that wasn't already said. Britt's over. It's great. I like that they're moving away from her and Thunder Rosa. You know, the rest of the women's division could use a little help, as has been discussed on the show. So I'm all for it. Good match. Right person won. Having her go far in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament will be good.
Agreed. So she's in. We'll see what her next match is for the cup as the brackets get set here. But we move on. We get a package about Deeb and Sheeta, and we promise that this feud will come to an end next week. And we'll talk about that here because they've run down the card for Rampage and Dynamite. Rampage this week, we'll see an Owen Cup qualifier, as was said earlier. Adam Cole versus Tomohiro Ishii. We'll get Swerve and Keith Lee interviewed. We'll see Lance Archer versus Serpentico in a tune-up for his match against Wardlow. Daniel Garcia will be going up against Eddie Kingston, and all members of the factions will be banned from ringside. We'll have Jamie Hayter, Tony Storm, and Britt Baker interviewed, and we will have our Jade Cargill, Marina Shafir match for the TBS title. On Dynamite, we'll get the end of the Deeb and Sheeta, or they're promising the end of the Deeb and Sheeta feud in a Philly street fight. So I'm imagining a lot of soft pretzels, maybe a couple hoagies, maybe some water ice, some all of the Philly stuff that you can imagine in the Philly street fight. We'll get Wardlow versus Lance Archer in an Owen Cup qualifier. We will get Dax Harwood versus Cash Wheeler. So interesting to see this tag team go up against each other, but this match will be awesome. It will, as the kids say, it will fuck.
It will fuck. It'll hump. It'll slap. It's going to rule.
All those things.
Yeah.
We're also going to get the ladder match for the TNT title, Scorpio Sky versus Sammy Guevara. And the 10-man tag is set, Undisputed Era versus the Varsity Blondes, Lee Johnson, Dante Martin, and everybody's favorite, Brock Anderson. That's everybody's favorite Brock, by the way, in case you guys didn't know. When people are talking about Brock, they're talking about Brock Anderson. Just yeah. FYI.
Paul Heyman's boy.
That's right, Brock Anderson. Guys, it's time for the main event. Andrade El Idolo versus Darby Allin in a coffin match. Didn't see a whole lot of time for this at the end of this show, but we did get some notable events. Andrade does have the Blade and Mark Quinn with him, beating down Darby Allin. As they kind of move into the crowd, Sting appears sitting in with the crowd, and he starts to get into it. Quinn does wind up going up the steps with Sting, and he winds up hitting Sting with a chair, but son of a bitch, Sting no-sells the shit out of it and throws Quinn off of the steps onto the other competitors, and that's when Sting climbs up to the balcony above the floor and then dives onto the entire group. My God, Sting, please, you don't need to do this. You just don't need to do this at 60. But
now he does, though, because now I'm just totally having does. So much fun.
But it's just, oh, my God. Anyway, yeah. Eventually all the other members make their way back. behind the crowd, and we are left with Darby Allin and Andrade getting towards the end of this match. They're starting to jockey around, jockey for position around the coffin. Andrade, they do have the coffin open, and we see that there are thumbtacks all over the inside of the coffin lid. Darby Allin at one point does put his arm into the lid to prevent it from closing. Eventually, Darby does come flying through the ropes to put Andrade into the coffin. He tries to close it, but Andrade kind of is standing up, so he can't get it closed all the way. Jose comes in to try to make the save, but Darby Allin is able to reverse a powerbomb and put Jose onto the tacks on the back of the coffin lid. He does slam down the lid, and that's the end. Darby Allin wins this match by closing the lid of the coffin on Andrade El Idolo. And then post-match, Sting is helping Darby in the ring to stand tall, and the Hardy Boys do appear on stage to do the delete hand motions. And that's it. End of show. So, Matt, I can't tell. You look sort of annoyed at this. Why don't you tell us what you thought of the main event? If you could turn your mic on.
Yes, I had to turn it on because I didn't want, you know, me smushing my face into the microphone to get picked up. I don't know. It seems like the last month, it's every Darby Allin Hardy Boys match. It's Gaga, 1,000 fucking people involved. Like, Andrade's amazing. Darby Avant-Garde is amazing. Can't we just have a fucking why? Why does there have to be the fucking Blade and the Marquin and Sting and Jose and a skateboard and a coffin? Like, nothing is over. They didn't solve anything. It was fucking chaos. If you signed up for chaos, you got chaos, and not like the good chaos. You got chaos. Sting jumping off the thing. Cool. Sting's having a fucking blast, right? Even if he's running around in his Nikes. But I just, I don't know,
those
man.
Those were Skechers, my friend. Those were old man Skechers, like, or New Balance.
I don't know. Just I'm tired. It's like every Darby Avant-Garde match is the same, and him and Sting and the Hardys, and there's tables, and there's the fucking Andrade Hardy family offices. It's just, it's a lot of Gaga. You know, it wasn't for me tonight. I was expecting like a really fun, like, tell me a story about how you're gonna get each other into the coffin. And instead I got the fucking six-man tag, tornado style, with a fucking coffin with some thumbtacks on it. I didn't like it. Wasn't for me. Is it going to lead to the Hardy Boys against Sting and Darby Allin? I guess if that's what you want. It's just not my cup of tea. Wasn't the way I wanted to end the night.
I feel like this was rushed for time, too. Like I said, when this match started, it was pretty late in the hour. So it just seemed like they kind of had to get to the end. I don't know if something went long on time earlier in the night and they intended for this to have a longer, match, but boy, it just went really, really quick to the finish. But Kate, what'd you think of this main event? Did it work for you?
More so than it did for Matt, but still not, like, I liked what was in front of me, but I agree with Matt on a few things. One, Andrade needs some wins here. He's like 4-6 or something. You gotta give him some W's. He's fantastic in the ring. He's such a smart worker. He's just so damn cool. My favorite Darby Allin match that I can remember of recent, and it's not even that recent, was him and MJF at Full Gear. Like, I feel like sometimes they rely on the fact that he's absolutely insane a little too much, and the storytelling does get lost. And I was hoping this was going to be some sort of, like, Family Hardy Office blow-off if it wasn't going to be a one-on-one. But to Matt's point, like, it doesn't seem like it's a blow-off at all. I don't like, in general, these, like, gang war matches, and I really don't like when we go home with them in situations where a one-on-one match would have been better. And while I love seeing the two competitors who were in the ring wrestle, I feel like both of them need wins, honestly. Like, Darby hasn't had a ton of big wins, and Andrade really, really needs wins. So I didn't love everything around this match, but I was entertained by the things that were in front of me. Like, I'm never going to not pop for Sting diving off of shit at the age of 60, and some really, really cool spots, and Andrade is just so great. But I don't like what it does for the implications moving forward at all.
All makes sense. Totally get it. Yeah, I don't know where they're kind of going from here with this whole thing. But, Shlong, what did you think of the main event tonight?
It was fine. Kind of a little bit with Matt on, like, everything with the minute you put the family office to something, whether it was with Hardy or now with Andrade, it always feels the same. Like, tons of interference, tons of craziness. But it was good. I love seeing Sting do anything. He's one of my favorite. He's probably my one of my top two favorites of all time. So seeing him do anything anymore is still fun. I did like the thumbtacks in the coffin only because it made sense. Like, you know, when Darby was holding it up with his arm to try to stop it from closing, the pain, like, there was logic there. I'm just curious what they do with Andrade now. I get losing because Darby's Darby. He is one of the biggest stars, but you're gonna have to do something with Andrade. So I'm very curious where they go with from here with Andrade.
Matt, what was that? What are you trying to keep your eyes open there?
Maybe you bring in Roosh. Maybe throw a little LIJ together.
God, they're really LFI,
got it.
Endless possibilities with New Japan and ROH, like, being in the mix so suddenly. It is wild.
It will certainly be interesting to see where they go, but I'm in agreement with everybody. Andrade definitely needs to find a win somewhere here and get involved with something where he's winning. But it is just always fun to be watching these matches and seeing some of these guys work and say, they didn't know what to do with them, huh? Okay. They didn't know what to do with this guy. All right.
I mean, in their defense, AEW is not crushing it with Andrade, but yeah, it is nuts to, like, they are killing it from the letting him be himself perspective. Like, the character is working, things are clicking, but, like, there's no way that guy should be 4-6.
No, I agree. But my point is just about the ring work and the character, all of that stuff. You didn't know what to do with him. And then despite his record, he's coming in and having just quality, bangers. Quality matches. So that's the show, folks. A couple news items for the night. Some more bad news, guys. I hate to break it to you. Jack Evans' time with AEW is up. He is done. So we will not be seeing Jack Evans again. I know we're all really heartbroken.
I forgot that tag team was a thing, but I do actually want to put over the way he handled it on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it. But,
I did.
Someone had said something like to the effect of AEW deserves credit for letting contracts expire and not release him. And he basically said, yeah, they do. And then someone else had said, like, something to the effect of, you know, wish we saw you showcased more or whatever, something loving and supportive. And he was like, I wasn't really adding value there. And I just thought that was remarkably accountable. And if he keeps an attitude like that, he'll be back on TV somewhere else, because that's a really, really good attitude to have. So just good for him in that. But yeah, I never was really into TH2, TH3. THEE, whatever. Like, there was nothing that was working for me there, and I, to be quite honest, forgot they existed.
Sometimes I think it
took them a long time to mature into that person, Kate.
Yeah, yes, but it's nice to see that. Like, it's refreshing to see somebody being mature on Twitter. It's just very rare.
Yes, well, if you know the Jack Evans story, you can go. It's a very, very rocky relationship with Ring of Honor.
I don't think I know full. I know Lucha Underground stuff, but I didn't know.
You go way back.
Yeah,
way back to like 2004, 2005. Oh yeah, Jack Evans, Teddy Hart, not a good. That's why Jack Evans wasn't really in the States a lot. Well, made a lot of mistakes.
Started in Mexico.
Yeah, I did not know he's 40 years old. And he is honestly known for most of his work in early days of Ring of Honor, Mexico, and on Lucha Underground. He and Angelico challenged FTR for the world titles in 2020, and then he lost the hair versus hair match versus Orange Cassidy. And since then, he's really only worked a handful of matches on Dark. His services are no longer needed. His contract has expired, so Jack Evans has moved on. In other contract news that made me chuckle, the rumors out there, according to Fight Club, that there have been discussion within the E of bringing back FTR when their deals come up with AEW. But it should be noted that the deals don't come up for quite some time. But it is just so funny to see the E now be like, hey, you know, maybe we should bring FTR in. Like, they maybe didn't know who they were.
The biggest thing with that, so in their Talk is Jericho episode, they said that when they did finally get their release granted, Vince actually like sat with them and apologized for the fact that like they never did anything that they deserved. But the whole reason that they asked for their release was not because of the way they were positioned, but because of how much they just don't care about tag team wrestling. And that is never, that has not changed. It's worse than it was then. So I can't imagine them wanting to go back, but good for them, because they're going to leverage that into a payday at AEW, and they're putting on some of the best tag matches in history. So good for them.
Guys, we've also talked about it a few times. Maria Kanellis coming into AEW to help with that division. And she did an interview and she talked a little bit about there being discussions with Tony Khan. She said, there's been some communication of trying to figure out a way. He's reached out to me, he being Tony Khan. And now we're just trying to figure out a time to get on the phone and discuss things further. I'm hopeful that happens soon. I'm thankful and appreciative that he even reached out to me, because I love Ring of Honor. Now, I should say that the discussion was about her perhaps coming in to help work Ring of Honor. I think there could be some good crossover there. But she said a piece of her soul died a little bit when she was released from the company last year, because it was so fulfilling and she loved working with the women's division. She said, I'm hopeful that we do find a time to communicate, and a lot of our friends are trying to make sure we get in touch. I will keep everybody posted as things come into play. So, again, I think you're foolish if you don't talk to Maria Kanellis after what she did with Ring of Honor. And if you can bring her back into the Ring of Honor fold to make sure that women's division, you know, stays afloat, maybe you tap into her also to help with the AEW women's division. No brainer, man. I'd bring her in. I'd give her whatever she wants, because you need the help on the women's side. You just really do.
I mean, I'd bring her in just to get to look at her, because she's so pretty.
I agree. I agree.
Sure. Clear your calendars Monday night, 7 o'clock.
Huh? What was that?
She's got her women's wrestling army thing coming up too.
She's starting
that in May, so.
Yes. Yeah. She does have that starting, but she said in addition to that, there is the possibility that there's a discussion about her perhaps going back into Ring of Honor. So,
okay. So we good. Perhaps you clear your calendar Monday night, 7 o'clock.
There's nothing happening Monday night at 7 o'clock.
Nothing.
Baseball, maybe.
Oh, that's very rude.
The last thing I have is in the never-ending story of the Twitter bots.
I hate the never-ending story.
Why? That was a great film. The second one was garbage, but the first one was great.
Fuck Falcor.
Are you telling me, as a child, Matthew?
I hate it. I couldn't eat. I never got through the whole thing.
So you didn't have any feelings when Artax just gave up and drowned in the swamp of sorrow?
No.
You have no fucking soul.
I enjoyed Legend more than I did Neverending Story.
Oh, Matthew. The Neverending Saga.
You guys think Ryan's still there?
No.
Yeah, he's there. He's somewhere between the Highlanders.
No, Ryan is gone.
Who's speaking? Who is that? Is that Ryan's ghost?
Ryan has
it's a ghost haunting this computer.
Ooh. In the never-ending saga about the Twitter bots, TK talked to TV Insider, and he said, what I've seen was a lot of anti-AEW accounts that are really focused on the things they don't like. A lot of those are legitimate things. Some of those points I'm trying to address. Some of them I don't agree with. But the point is, a lot of these are the same people. There are a handful of accounts that are being run by a few people running a lot of their accounts. Those are real people. A lot of their engagement, their retweets, likes, people responding and signal boosting for what they are saying, those are bots. You get a network of a few people with a lot of identities powered by a bunch of bots. I'm not making this up. I have hired IT experts to put together a much more sophisticated explanation than I'm capable of giving. It's a real thing, or I wouldn't have brought it up. I have a pretty good reputation in this business for honesty. So, guys, he's not on some sort of alleged cocaine bender. There's real bots out there, and he's going to find out where they are, and he's going to take them down like the Terminators.
I honestly think it's hysterical. I think it's so fucking funny.
I love this discussion about the Twitter bots. It's so fucking crazy.
Why not? Let's do it.
It's so crazy.
I like that he was like, we have a huge card later. How can I promote it? Let's talk about this Twitter bot discussion. I love it.
So fun. Guys, that's it. Nothing else tonight. We've talked long enough about so much bullshit. Here's Sergio.
Sergio!
We've seen Sergio maybe more than Ryan tonight.
Is it Sergio or is it Sergio? Do you know?
It's Sergio. Sometimes I call him Serge.
Oh, I like it.
You know.
Interesting.
So, Matthew.
Yo.
When you're not here on Wednesday nights, sometimes you're... Kate. That's hilarious. Sometimes you're somewhere else on Monday night.
It's look, it's not by choice. Trust me, it is not by fucking choice, people.
Okay.
Don't.
I didn't say what.
This weird fucking narrative.
What narrative? Nobody's talking narrative.
I see. I hear the chuckling. I hear fucking. Fucking. I don't know.
Highlander man.
Yeah. Whatever.
I laughed at your yo, not that you're not here.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I can't see you.
I know, that's the gimmick.
So, Matt, when you're not here on Wednesdays, when you show up on other places, in other places, what are you doing during the week?
Like, what's my job? Or what do I do Mondays?
Mondays, I guess. What are you doing on
Monday night, Brad? Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Great B interviews, show. Lots of wrestling talk. Big show.
B show.
Big Show signed set up for this Monday. Maria Kanellis, 7:00.
What? Billy
Starks, 8:15.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. That's confirmed now?
Yep.
Oh boy, look at that. If you've made it through 2.5 hours, Matt didn't confirm it, but it's now confirmed. Lock it in. Monday night.
May 2nd, Caprice Coleman. Will be on the show. So we got a couple fun guests lined up. Last week we had a great time with Lash LaRue from WCW and Big F and Vin, GCW superstar, son of 911. Two great interviews.
The most wholesome, enormous deathmatch wrestler ever.
Yeah, so check it out. ShiningWizards.com is the website. At Wizards Podcast is all social media platforms. If you go to our Twitter, we have a link tree and you can just do whatever. Jump in our Discord where these lovely folks are. Kate's not there, but Anthony and Ryan are there. And a lot of people in chat. Asian Joe's there. Rob Humphries is there. Mike Peterson, who I haven't seen tonight. He's probably working. If I forgot you, my apologies. And if you're not in there, man, jump on the link tree at Wizards Podcast. Join the Discord. It's a great place. We have lots of running conversations about wrestling, music, movies, DDP yoga. Everything and anything you could think of. I put out that maybe I will eat like an edible an hour before I do the Monday night show.
Wrong night. Tonight was the night.
Yeah.
And not on the Maria Kanellis night.
No. Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, Mickey James talked to you guys about poop. Maria Kanellis might be like, sure, let's get high.
Mickey James talked to us about boogers, and then I made a Mr. Hand joke, which she laughed at. So I don't know if I should be concerned or. Well, if you don't know what Mr. Hand is, don't Google it, please.
You'll probably just get South Park.
That's, you know what? You're better off.
Yeah.
Well, that's Mr. Hat.
Well,
just don't.
Ryan, you can Google Mr. Hand for sure.
I don't need to, but no. Yes, you do. No, I don't.
You got to see it once in your life.
No, I really don't.
All right, if you say so. So that's what I do on Monday nights. And if work is not... it's not bogging me down. I'll be here every Wednesday, but you got a better chance of seeing Sergio.
You will see Sergio. Yes. He's right here for all times. Kate, when you're not here with us, what are you doing?
Torturing myself, watching WWE programming. I sometimes join the Monday Night Raw Fightful Select post show. I try to avoid it when possible, but definitely every Tuesday nights on the NXT 2.0 post show. Not really a review show anymore, just kind of a weird variety show. Wednesdays, I'm here when I have a voice. Fridays, I'm doing AEW Rampage and SmackDown post shows. And for every WWE pay-per-view, we are also doing the paywall version in addition to the free version on Fightful YouTube. So come check me out on all of that shit. And May 7th, I'm returning to Excite Wrestling, hitting their commentary desk once again. Looking very much forward to that. That should be really fun. So get your weird words nominated.
Ryan, you heard it. We need to get a nomination post up at some point, and then we'll narrow it down.
Oh, I'm on it.
Also, we need to see if we can pull audio from that. I would love to hear Kate doing a bit of commentary and maybe even using Bumfuzzled.
I did use it, and it is on the Excite Twitch, so I can pull it.
See if we can pull it. We'll see if we can pull it. Sorry, my internet just froze. Whoa, sorry. My internet is being really fucking weird. Sorry, my internet's being super weird.
Ryan, so Ant would ask what I do on Monday and Tuesdays?
Yeah, what are you doing on Mondays and Tuesdays?
I am live tweeting Elevation and Dark from our Twitter, Mark Order Pod. I'm also just there the rest of the week. I do all the tweeting from there, so if you want to interact, I will interact with any wrestling conversation that comes up, so long as it's, you know, nice and respectful. I don't like the dickheads out there. But, yeah, I'm there. So if you want to, whatever it is, I'll engage in any weird wrestling conversation you want to have.
Do you interact with the bots?
Not that I know of, but do you ever really know?
No. Well, if you're a bot, you should interact with the other bots.
I am a bot. I'm a bot.
Or just talk to Marcus Bagwell, because he seems like he's a bot.
No, he clearly is someone running his account.
He's a little fucking squirrely.
By the way, speaking of Bagwell, I don't know why I hear that going out. But I was watching on Easter, there was a Kaiju Big Battle. Are you guys aware of Kaiju Big Battle?
I am.
Sunday night, there was one in Brooklyn. And it was on YouTube for free. And there was a pizza on a pole match.
Delicious.
Somebody made a comment that is the best snack on a pole since Judy Bagwell.
That's gross.
I just thought
Judy Bagwell never looked like a snack. Ever.
No. I would agree with that.
Okay, let's go home because we're echoing real bad.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. I'll throw the plugs out. I don't know if anybody can fucking hear them, but definitely check us out on social at Mark Order Pod. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. Sorry, the echo's fucking me up. You can hit up our link tree. Oh, hi, Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hold on. I just want to say, today, I consider myself the luckiest man alive. So shlong and good night.
So, at Mark Order Pod on all forms of social media, hit up the link tree. You can find links to all of our socials. You can also submit for free stickers. Just give us your name, address, and country, and I will send you out a couple stickers so you guys can put them on your stuff. Also, thanks to everybody watching us live tonight on YouTube. We appreciate you guys every week. Kyle K. Spark, Mark Quill, Chris Robinson, Rob Humphrey, I don't know, everybody else. This chat was really hopping tonight. So thank you guys for taking part. If you're listening to us in podcast form, we appreciate that as well. So just make sure you rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. It helps on the podcast platforms. And make sure that if you don't give us a shot watching on YouTube, check it out. It's a lot of fun, especially with like Ryan disappearing tonight. This has been a weird goddamn night, but you should certainly have checked us out on YouTube. And you'll see Sergio as well. So check it out. And guys, that's it. I can't take this goddamn echo anymore. So we'll be back next week with a new episode of the Mark Order Podcast.
Goodbye and good night.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.